जयम श्रीपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्त वेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जयम त्रिलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की आनंद गौड़ी वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्री हरिदास ठाकुर की स्वयं सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुन माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की సమవేద భక్తవృందకి గోపేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సమ్మిటి బాడీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సమ్మిటి బాడీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ద సమ్మిటి బాడీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు వెంగళన ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమాము శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూగలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని దివామిని నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజాని నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాణి పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ
ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గ్రహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాద్ శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవహి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యదా భక్తి ఆదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్తున్నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం జన్మాద్యసయతోన్వయాత్ ఇదరతశ్చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాత్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆదిగమయే ముఖ్యంతి యత్ సూరయ తేజో వారి మృదం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా నామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్త కుహకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజిత కైదవోత్ర పరమో నిర్మత్సరాణం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా వరైరీశ్వర సద్యో భృత్యవరుద్యేత్ర శుశ్రూషుభీ తల్క్షణాన్ నిగమకల్పదరోగలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాతమృతద్రవ సంయుధం విపద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసిగా భువి భావుకాః ఆనందరూపాయ కుశోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః యం ప్రవ్రజంతం హనుపేతమభేదకృత్యం ద్వైపాయనో విరహకాదరమజ్జుహావాం పుత్రేతి తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేతు హం సర్వభూతహృదయం వినిమానతోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిలశ్రుతిసారమేకం అద్యాల్పదీపమతిథితీర్షదాంధమాంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണോ കുണിതാദൃദാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാം മുരാരേ മധുരീനാഥനികാവി ഓം വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേ ശ്രീമദേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണേ നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യ ദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദീഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായം അതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലയേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം കൂജയൻ വേണു ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ ഭാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So, what we were discussing yesterday, 21st chapter in the Ekadasha Skandam, 11th canto, after saying several things about the Vidhinishedam, the do's and don'ts, and also regarding the various aspects of the process of these three yoga systems, Krishna has spoken. Finally, Krishna concluded that chapter that Uddhava Vedam is very difficult to understand for everybody. And Krishna says there, Vedam Brahmalpa Vishayam, Trikandam Vishaya Ime. In Vedam, there is these three different divisions. Trikandam means three different divisions. Jnanakandam, Karmakandam, Upasanakandam. And he mentions that the reason that Veda Mantram, Vedic hymns, is generally always spoken indirectly. Nature is very indirect way of speaking. That is the nature of the Vedic literature. So Krishna is saying there that I also like it in that way. Krishna says, because if it is not spoken like that, Krishna's fear means Krishna's point is that they will read ordinary people who do not have Chitta Shuddhi, purification in the heart, they will read Vedam and misinterpret things. That is the reason why it is spoken indirectly, everything in the Vedam. So that you won't capture the message straight away when you read it. If it is everything so open, Krishna's point is that people who do not have purification, Chitta Shuddhi in other words, they will read Vedam and they will interpret it in the wrong way. Therefore, Krishna says, I keep it very hidden, the message. Deliberately, it's done like that. పరోక్షవాదో వేదం బ్రహ్మాస్త్ర విషయం త్రికాండ విషయ ఇమి పరోక్షవాదం హృషయ పరోక్షం మమచ ప్రియం. రిషీస్ ఆర్ లైక్ దట్ హూ హావ్ గివన్ హూ త్రూ హోమ్ ద వేదాస్ హావ్ కమ్ టు దిస్ వర్ల్డ్ దే ఆర్ ఆల్సో లైక్ దట్ ఐ ఎమ్ ఆల్సో లైక్ దట్ కృష్ణ సైజ్ పరోక్షం మమచ ప్రియం హీ సైజ్ లైక్ దట్. సో ఇన్ ఆర్డర్ టు అవాయిడ్ దాట్ దట్ పీపుల్ డోంట్ మిస్ఇంటర్ప్రెట్ వేదం వి హ్యావ్ కెప్ట్ దిస్ సిస్టమ్ రిషీస్ అండ్ కృష్ణ దే హావ్ కెప్ట్ దట్ సిస్టమ్ అండ్ వెన్ చిత్తశుద్ధి హ్యాపన్స్ టు ఎ పర్సన్ ఇన్ ఎ న్యాచురల్ వే హీ విల్ అండర్స్టాండ్ ద మెసేజ్ ఆఫ్ ద వేదం వితౌట్ ఎనీ ఫర్దర్ ఎఫర్ట్ దిస్ ఇస్ కృష్ణస్ పాయింట్. సో పర్టికులర్లీ కృష్ణ పాయింట్స్ అవుట్ దాట్ ట్రై ఫార్ చిత్తశుద్ధి ఫస్ట్ ప్యూరిఫికేషన్ ఆఫ్ వన్స్ ఓన్ హార్ట్ విచ్ మీన్స్ టు స్టే ఇన్ ద ధర్మం విచ్ వీ టాక్డ్ అబౌట్ బిఫోర్ దాట్ ఫస్ట్ ఆఫ్ ఆల్ అవాయిడ్ ద నిషిద్ధ కర్మం దెన్ కమ్ టు కామ్యకర్మం ఫ్రమ్ కామ్యకర్మం టు విహిత కర్మం and in that way the process we purify your own karma first and then when the mind has become a little bit settled then attention should go inwards towards the soul and at that point Krishna is saying chitta shuddhi becomes important and therefore shravanam mananam process all these things is to assist in that. So you can see it's an ongoing process for a very very long period of time before we can understand what Vedam is telling us. In this chapter, Krishna has brought the message out very powerfully, saying that Vedam says a lot of things, Uddhava. You don't have to worry about all that. But the point is Krishna is making here is that the goal of Vedam is self-realization. That is why he says there is these three cantos, Jnanakandam, Karmakandam and Upasanakandam. కర్మకాండం ఈస్ ది యజ్ఞం సాక్రిఫైసెస్. కృష్ణ ఇస్ ప్రిపేర్డ్ లోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ సాక్రిఫైసెస్ ఆదిరాత్రం అగ్నిష్టోమం వాజపేయం ఎ నంబర్ ఆఫ్ దమ్ అండ్ ఆల్ దోస్ వేదిక్ సిస్టమ్ ఆఫ్ త్రూ కర్మకాండం హౌ టు అడ్వాన్స్ స్పిరిచువలీ దట్ ప్రోసెస్ అండ్ కర్మకాండం బేసికలీ వాట్ ఇట్ డస్ ఇస్ ఇట్ క్రియేట్స్ చిత్తశుద్ధి సో దేర్ ఫార్ వేరియస్ సాక్రిఫైసెస్ స్పోకన్ ఇన్ ది వేదం for that purpose. After the chitta shuddhi one becomes qualified for jnana kandam or upasana kandam, one of them jnana margam or bhakti margam, one of them he can go to realize the truth. So Krishna mentions there that this karma kandam is centered around these sacrifices, which is practically everything in the Yajurvedam, and Jaimini Maharshi was the personic preceptor of this, who actually was instructed from Vedavyas. And Jaimini's Jaiminiya Mimamsa, as it is called, or Mimamsakas, they were a very powerful force in the Vedic tradition at one time. It was when they got degraded, that is when Lord Buddha comes. When the Mimamsakas got degraded, Lord Buddha came. No process remains in this world always in a pure state. Some great personality, realized soul, comes and presents his realizations to this world and he leaves. When he leaves, the followers may not be able to adapt to it as well as the preceptor has done. So naturally what will happen is the followers, they will interpret it in their own way and everything will change in due course. That is unavoidable. Krishna is saying that. It has happened in all processes, whether it is Jnana Margam, Karma Margam or Bhakti Margam. Wherever in this process, Krishna says that those who have taken this knowledge and realized the truth, when they are present here, they will present it in the proper way. But once they have gone, those who have no realizations, those who have not realized the truth, they will follow the preceptor, but then they don't have the message in them. They haven't got it yet. So therefore, they will interpret it in the wrong way and the message will be in due course lost. This is how Bhagavad Gita's knowledge was also lost. Krishna mentions that in the fourth chapter, how the message was lost, isn't it? So you can see that jnanam, karmam, bhakti, three processes, and bhakti process, karma margam, has Mimamsakas as Jaimini and others, even they themselves did not understand, Krishna says, the enough of Vedam, Vedic literature. Then after that, Krishna says the Bhakti Margam. In Upasana Margam, Krishna says all forms of deity worship. in different forms I have appeared in this world, which means that Krishna's different incarnations plus all other devadas also people worship. This upasana system or worshipping a particular form and process of worship, that is all a part of the upasana kandam of the Vedam. Even there also different things have changed and people have lost the proper understanding of the Vedic tradition. Saying that, Krishna says finally there is in the Vedam what is known as Jnana Kandam. Krishna's point is that ultimately Uddhava, if he does not end up in realizing the truth, what is the self, who the self is, then any other process, whatever you may follow in this, in on behalf of Vedas, that is also not very taking you to the goal. So that is when Krishna mentions there, Shabda Brahmam, Sudurbhodam, Pranendriya Manomayam, Anandabharam Gambhiram, Durvigahim Samudravat. Krishna mentioned that it is not very easy, Uddhava, to understand the Vedic message of the Vedam, because of the Shabda Brahmam. Shabda Brahmam means the incarnation of sound, the sound incarnation of Krishna. Brahmam has got two aspects, Shabda Brahmam and Parabrahmam. Shabda Brahmam, Krishna is saying here that it is also very difficult for ordinary people to enter into Shabda Brahmam, because out of the four, Para, Pashyandi, Madhyama, Vaikari, out of the four stages of sound, three of them are unmanifested. Only the one, Vaikari, that's the one what we have access, we have got access to. So, and that is what we are talking about. So, and therefore Krishna says there that Mayoba Brahmidam Bhumna Brahmana Ananda Shaktina Bhudeshu Ghosha Rubena Viseshu Urneva Lakshyate. That this subtle form of that sound, like gives the example that in the stem of the lotus flower, you will see loads of threads going through. So, just like the thread going through that lotus stem, in a similar way, Krishna is saying that this sound, Shabda Brahmam, is present in the form of sound in every living beings. Every living beings, it's present in the form of sound. We all make different sounds, isn't it? You can see all the languages what we speak is the Vaikari, the last one, the most gross form. It is from that Vaikari all the languages have come. Krishna will explain that in the next 2-3 verses. All languages have come from the Vaikari. The other three more subtle forms of the sound is inaccessible to us. Krishna is saying here in a similar way, every living entity, wherever there is life, living beings, there is a sound in them. But that sound is unknown to us. And that sound is a manifestation of Krishna. Krishna's manifestation in the. So, in other words, Shabda Brahmam Parabrahmam. Shabda Brahmam in the form of sound is present. In the form of consciousness, Krishna is present in every living being. So, he says here, Bhudeshu Ghosha Rubena. Ghosha Rubena means in the sound form. In the sound form, he is present, he says. Bhudeshu Ghosha Rubena. And this is exactly what Krishna spoke in the 12th chapter also, if you look. Very complicated verses and very difficult also to be spoken. As Krishna, when Uddhava asked that question, Uddhava's question was that he mentioned there that the, see, samshayam shrunvato vacham tava yogeshwareshwara na nivartada almasto yena brahmyedi me mana yena brahmyedi me mana. He said that, he says, Samshaya Shrunvato Vacham Tava Yogeshwareshwara. Yogeshwareshwara saying to Krishna, Yogeshwareshwara, the yogi, the Ishwara of all the yogis. In other words, Yogeshwara is Ishwara. One who knows, one who created all the yoga system, one who is the goal of all the yoga system, and one who is present in all the yoga system. That is Yogeshwareshwara means. So, Krishna is saying himself, Uddhava is saying, you are that Yogeshwareshwara. You know everything. There is nothing that you don't know. But me, Uddhava says, na nivartada almasto yena brahmidi me mana. whatever you have spoken in that 12th chapter about Sajjana Salsangam. Salsangam, when Krishna spoke, it is at that time he realized, Krishna Urdhava raised this issue that I have not fully understood what you are saying. And instead of answering that question directly, as in a Krishna standard way, went into talking about an answer which he has given there, and that's the same answer Krishna is repeating again here. Sa esha jivo vivara prasuti pranena ghoshena guham pravishta. I enter into jiva's birth, Krishna is saying. I enter into everyone ghoshena. Pranena ghoshena. Ghoshena means the sound. Pranena means energy. Energy and the sound, both together. I enter into the living being. Guham pravishta. Guha means the cave. I enter into that cave. Manomayam sushma upetya rupam matra swaram varnam iti stavishtaha. That manomayam, when that combined energy of pranan and the sound, when it comes into the mind, it develops into another state. That is these four states, Parapashandi, Madhyama, Vaikari, Krishna is talking about. And that is what he says here, matra, swaram, varnam, iti stavishtaha. Swaram and varnam is the what we have called in our Vaikari, what comes out. Ka, kha, ghang, ghang, all the letters, alphabets, and then the vowels, a, a, e, u, u, a, like that, all those things. So, they combinedly form, convey the message, isn't it? These letters form the words and then make the language. So Krishna is saying all this language and everything is nothing but a manifestation of that para sound which was inside, which has combined with pranan, but it comes in a much gross level. When it comes out, it becomes vaikari, and that is what is experienced in the world. So if you go through those verses from 17 onwards till the end, Krishna mentioned about everything. That, and that is the same thing again he brought back here. Mayoba brahmhidam bhumna brahmana ananda shaktina bhudeshu ghosha rubeena viseshu urneva lakshade idorna nabirhdaya urnamuddhamade mukhal akashal ghoshavan prano manasa sparsha rubinaham chandomayam amrutamayam sahasrapadavim prabhu ओंकारात् व्यंजित स्पर्शम स्वरम ऊष्मांदस्थ भूषिताम विचित्र भाषा विदताम छंदोभिः चतुरुत्तरैः आनंदमारं बृहदीं सूचसजत्याक्षिपदे स्वयं. Krishna says here, just like the, if you look at the spider, it creates from all the web, it comes from its body, isn't it? It creates a body, spider's web, what it creates. And he sits inside that, in the web, isn't it? Right in the middle, he sits there. So, how it forms this spider's web, he says there. And that thread that comes out from the spider, it comes from its heart and it comes through its face. It comes out. It's an example given. Krishna is comparing that. It's a practical thing to look at. From spider's heart, it comes through the face, and that what you call the web is formed with that, isn't it? It makes a beautiful form of web. It creates that. Similarly, Krishna says, me, I am the source of all the Vedamurti, in other words. And Krishna, from him sound, Nadam, then through his mind, which is called Sparsham Varnam, that means this different para vibration, para nadam, which comes from Krishna, that from his khadem, from his heart, Krishna's heart, it comes out, and sushma shabda dvara, in a very subtle form, it comes out, and eventually it ends up in the vaikari form, varnam, and it turns into different languages. So the original sound, which comes from Krishna's para nadam, as it is called, it is present in the Atma, in the soul, in Krishna. That sound is always present. And that, when it comes to individual jiva, and with pranan it combines, and then it goes through these three different stages, Parapashandi and Madhyama, and finally it comes out Vaikari, which is the most gross form, and when it comes in Vaikari, it turns into different languages, Krishna says. That is how all the different languages have come. Krishna saying about that. And he says here, and Vaikari Shabdarum, and Vedam also in the Vaikari form, what we receive. Vedic hymns also is in the Vaikari form. But what Krishna says here is then that after it's all created, finally at the end, when all these sound vibrations in different languages, different Vaikari forms it existing, it would all come back to its original para form later, at the very end. So it will all come back to, like the way it has gone away, it will come back also inwards, exactly like the way the spider does. Spider releases everything and then it pulls back everything. Krishna says it's the same way all the other sound vibrations have come out and then it manifests in different living beings. Because all the sound vibrations in this world, not only human body, even the animal sound, everything, Krishna says is a part of that Vaikari expressions, Vaikari sound. That's what's coming out. And then when this sound comes out in Vaikari, it takes different systems. For example, he says here, Gayatri has got 24 letters. Gayatri has 24 letters. And four more letters, if you add to that, Chandas. Then another four, Ushnik. Another four, Anushtupa. Then another four, Brihati. Another four, Panthi. Another four, if you add, Trishtup. Another four, Jagadi. Another four, Atyushti. Then another four, Adijagadi. And another four, if you add, Adivirad. In this way, verses are framed. Verses in the Sanskrit is framed like this. You keep adding four more letters to it. And from the normal one, which is our Anushtupa. Anushtupa is all the Bhagavad Gita verses are Anushtupa. The 832 letters. That is the Bhagavad Gita verses. If you keep adding, big verses will come out. And that is their names Krishna has mentioned here. And all the Vedic hymns also in the same way are created. Very strictly under the rules of grammar and the law related to framing the verses. And then he says, Kim vithatte, kim achashte, kim anudya vigalpaye, ityasya hridayam loke, nanyo mad veda kaschanam. He says, what is Karmakandam actually talking about? Krishna says, what Karmakandam is talking about, or what Upasana Kandam is talking about, or what Jnana Kandam is talking about, only me knows, Krishna says. Nobody else understands it completely. What each Kandam, Upasana Kandam, Jnana Kandam and Karma Kandam is talking about, the only person who knows about it, it's me. Krishna is saying here, Ityasya Hridayam Loke Nanyo Mad Veda Kaschana. Only me understand that, Krishna is saying. At that time, Uddhava said that, reveal to me something about it, let me understand. Because Uddhava recognizes that it is too complex to understand Vedam. So it was then that Krishna is saying here that, Mam Vidate Abhidate Mam Vigalpyopo Hyade Tvaham Edavan Sarva Vedartam Shabda Astayamam Vidam Maya Matram Anidhyandi Pratishidya Prasidati. He said that in Karmakandam, I am worshipped through yajnam, through sacrifices, yajna rupam. Upasana Kandam, through different forms I am worshipped. And Jnana Kandam denies everything and only validates my existence. That's what Jnana Kandam does, isn't it? Jnana Kandam, what does it do? It denies the existence of everything and only confirms the reality of Krishna. Atma, is it not? Krishna, reality of Krishna means reality of Atma. Only confirmation of this existence of the reality as Atma is done in Jnana Kandam. In Upasana Kandam, worshipping Krishna through different forms, different deities, whatever that is present in that. And in the Karma Kandam, approaching Krishna through yajnam, sacrifices. Krishna says like that. And then he says that Vedam does only one thing. It says it is dependent on me. Vedic knowledge is dependent on me. And what Vedam does is it allows this Dvaidam, Dvaida Prapancham. Dvaida Prapancham means this variegatedness in the creation. And that variegatedness is Maya. See, like we see in the creation, so many different living entities, isn't it? And what does it do? It creates an identity of on its own, every living being separately. Maya matram, dvaita prapancham. Dvaita prapancham is that. So, initially, everyone is a dvaiti. When we begin our spiritual life, everybody is a dvaiti. No one is an exception. It is only when this realization comes, things started shifting. So, Krishna's point is that this dvaita prapancham or creation, which is dvaitam, duality, it is allowed, but ultimately one has to come out of it. This duality from the world. And this is the message of all the Vedam, Krishna says. And what is originally in the beginning, what is there in the truth, that is what is at the end also in every living being. So just like in the seed, what is there in the seed, that is in the huge tree, isn't it? Everything that is in the tree has come from the seed. Similarly, Krishna is saying, Atma is the seed. From there, everything has come. All these material elements, material bodies, variety of living entities, and the whole creation, everything. But what is the seed? Seed is Atma. From there, everything came. And what is in that seed is what is there in all these expansions also of the living entities and the world and the creation. And similarly, Krishna says here, Om, the letter which is pranavam. And pranavam, which is the message of sound vibration, sound aspect of the Vedam. In their pranavam, that Vedam, which is in the form of pranavam, Om, that is expanded and that is Shabda Brahmam. Shabda Brahmam, the source is pranavam, Om. So, and the mean, that is why Om letter is given so much importance, because of its, that is the origin of the Vedam. So, after saying that, that chapter Krishna closes there, and we have to look at it little bit more. Yesterday, Krishna also mentioned here, Shabda Brahmam Sudur Bhodam. Like everything else in spiritual life, Shabda Brahmam also is very difficult. Parapashyanti Madhyama Vaikari, four forms it comes. And Tamaiveka Janatha Altmanam Anyo Vacha Vimunchada Amrdashaisa Hetuhu. Upanishad says, in other words, that Vedam is saying, Vedam has spoken so many different things in the Vedam. So many things are discussed. But Altmanam Amrdashaivasya Hetuhu Anyo Vacha Vimunchada Tamaiveka Janatha Altmanam. Ultimately, the goal is to realize the soul. To realize the soul. That is the goal. And for that purpose, Vedam is saying, I'll create this bridge for you to come to Vedic knowledge and to realize it. Everything else you can leave it behind. Not to be worried about it. So, this is the direct bridge Krishna is talking about. Which means that, how to know that? That is what Krishna says here. You should approach. That is what you see in the Bhagavad Gita also. Tadvidhi pranivadena pariprasnena sevaya upadekshandide jnanam jnaninas tattva darshina. You must approach a spiritual master, he says. But that spiritual master must be realized. This is the important thing. You must approach a spiritual master, but that spiritual master must be realized. And in order to meet a spiritual master who is realized, you got to progress a lot before that. You got to develop spiritually yourself to a very high degree. And that is where Chitta Shuddhi comes, Sadhana comes, and so many other things, following the principles and constantly reflecting on the Shastram. In this way, Chitta Shuddhi has to happen. Purification of one's own. It is after that, this meeting with the spiritual master happens. So, in that process, Krishna says here that in solitude, one should reflect on all these things, what I have spoken, Uddhava, and reflect on that and think about that. And finally, he should come to the conclusion himself that he is not the body, he is not the mind, he is not the intelligence, he is not the ego. After knowing all that, and what is the truth, then who I am, that inquiry he should begin. That is when he comes to the self-inquiry stage. So Krishna says, this is the final goal of Vedam. So in this 21st chapter, what Krishna wants to tell us is that the purpose of the Vedam is self-realization. That is all it is. But because he's talking about Vedam from a much deeper level, and naturally people like Uddhava who knew about Vedam a lot, so therefore Krishna has to speak in such a way that Uddhava understands the message properly. Therefore he spoke about Karmagandam, Vasanagandam, Jnanagandam all separately. But finally Krishna is saying that the goal is self-realization, realizing what you are. Otherwise, message is lost. That's an important point he makes it here. And that is for that purpose only Krishna mentioned, to come to that level we have to cross a lot of hurdle before. First of all, due to karmam. Karmam is a hurdle. And therefore, Nishiddha Karmam is there, which a lot of people are engaged in. Majority of the people are engaged in Nishiddha Karmam, forbidden things. Forbidden things they are engaged. Can you imagine that? And in modern world, because there is no knowledge, even the so-called spiritual masters and authorities in spiritual life, they are engaged in forbidden karma. Even they are engaged in forbidden karma. And that is why we have so much problems. People are confused about it. They are getting misled by this. When they get into all kinds of forbidden activities, what impression does that create in the ordinary person who doesn't know anything? So Krishna's point is, first karma shuddhi, then chitta shuddhi. That is when it happens later. Karma shuddhi means purification of the body. Chitta shuddhi means purification of the mind. These are all steps, hurdles to go through before jnana vijaram starts, before inquiry of the self begins. Today you can start the inquiry of the self, but it will not have that effect till these hurdles are got through. So for karma shuddhi, Krishna explained like this, karma yogam, karma gandam, all this is for that purpose. And what is that karma shuddhi means? First, nishiddha karmam, one should pull out. Nishiddha karmam includes loads of things. Industry, business, money making, all this is nishiddha karmam. It's not allowed. If you go and do all those things, you will be greedy, you will be running after money. And that means your spiritual life is stopped. They come to a dead stop there. Isn't it? So that is the point Krishna is saying. Nishiddha karmam, first stop it. When we discuss that last chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, 18th chapter, and that verse, Sarva Dharman Parityajyam, we'll discuss it. For 4 or 5 hours, we'll talk about that verse. You will see that verse is not that simple as people make out of it. Very often people say, oh, Sarva Dharman Parityajyam, where is the problem? Very simple verse. It's not that simple, that verse. It is the most difficult verse in the Bhagavad Gita. First of all, that is the reason why Krishna put that verse at the very end of Bhagavad Gita. If it was that simple, he could have put it in the first verse itself. Why did he do, after saying so many things, he says, Sarva Dharman Parityajya. That verse was not spoken to make life easy for us. We are thinking, oh, all other verses not important. This is the simplest verse. Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mamekam Sharanam Vraja. Then why all this Jnanagandam, Karmagandam, Rajayogam, so many things he has spoken before that. Naturally that question will come, isn't it? Little bit intelligence, you can think, understand that. That there must be a reason to put that verse at the last end of Bhagavad Gita. And if you read the Bhashyam or commentary on that verse from the Acharyas, you will see how much preparation is necessary before you come to that stage. Before you come to Sarva Dharman Parityajya. Before you come to Sarva Dharman Parityajya, you have to go through so many stages in life. Like Krishna is saying here, this is all an expansion of that Sarva Dharman Parityajya. That first of all, from Nishiddha Karmam, one has to withdraw. First thing. And then, next thing is Kamya Karmam. Nishiddha Karmam means forbidden things you shouldn't do. Then Kamya Karmam means, you have desires inside. You want the results from the karma, isn't it? So, that is Kamya Karmam, fruitive activities. So continue with the fruitive activities for some time, and from Kamya Karmam you should be able to withdraw again to make it Karma Yogam. And while engaging in Karma Yogam, still there will be some karmam that is Vihida Karmam, that is prescribed duty. That's a part of that Karma Yogam, and Vihida Karmam goes together. Practically you can see that when you start executing Vihida Karmam, ఓన్లీ దెన్ యూ విల్ గెట్ ఫ్రీడమ్ ఫ్రమ్ కామ్యకర్మ. ఫ్రమ్ ఫ్రూటివ్ యాక్టివిటీ టు కమ్ అవుట్ టు విహిత కర్మం యూ హ్యావ్ టు గో త్రూ దిస్ కర్మయోగం ప్రాసెస్. ఇట్స్ ఆల్ దేర్ ఇన్ ది శాస్త్రం. యూ కాంట్ రైట్ ఇట్ ఆఫ్ లైక్ దాట్ ఫ్రీలీ. అండ్ దెన్ వెన్ యూ కమ్ టు విహిత కర్మం, కృష్ణ సైజ్ మనశుద్ధి విల్ కమ్ ఫ్రమ్ దాట్. Chittashuddhi will start building up, and when Chittashuddhi happens, Krishna is saying, at that time the mind which is busy in the world will start going inward, looking. You become more serious about spiritual life, the Shraddha will come and Brahma Jitnyasa will come. And that is where Brahma Sutram begins. Can you see that? Adhato Brahma Jitnyasa. So you see, Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying this Vedanta Sutram, Brahma Sutram, what we all talk about, is not for day one. After going through all these stages, when one has come to that state, when one has come to that state, when the mind has lost its interest in the world and in the body and other thing, and inquiry has begun inside, at that time, Adhato Brahma Jinyasa. Adhato Brahma Jinyasa. In the same way, Jaimini wrote, like Brahma Sutram, there is a Karma Sutram also. Patanjali wrote Yoga Sutram. Vedavyasa Maharshi wrote Vedanta Sutram. And Jaimini wrote Karma Sutram. And what is the first Sutram there? Adhato Karma Jinyasa. He says, this is the time, that is the stage, in that stage, he says, this is the time to inquire about karma. So there is a whole science behind that karma also. And Krishna just touched and gone in the Bhagavad Gita, in the few chapters, in the early chapters of the Bhagavad Gita, he just touched and gone. Very essence he has put it out in the first six chapters. That is why it's called Karma Yoga chapters, isn't it? And there finally Krishna said, Gahana Karmano Gadi. Nobody understands the subtlety of karma, he says like that. And he moves on from there. So here, what is important here is that Krishna's point is that what first thing to get out of karma. What karma, after one has to come to this conclusion that I have nothing to gain in this world from karma, which is a very difficult thing, isn't it? We bring the same vasana into spiritual life also. That's where all the problem begins. Karmam, one says, that vasana is in us, what can you do? So when you come to spiritual life also, you bring the same thing. Karma means, do something, get something. Do something, get something. And spiritual life also, we want to do the same thing. Do something, get something. So Krishna is saying here, that also has to go. That's a disease. It's a rogam. Disease it is. That rogam has to go first. This doing, getting. Once you come out of it, then you can see, then your realizations will go one step further. That means it is then that the inquiry becomes a little bit more deeper. Proper inquiry begins. And that is when then you start recognizing the presence of the soul inside, which is jnapti. Or what Krishna calls it as avabhodham, or jnapti inside and purely manifested in the form of the truth inside as the self. That means at that stage, attachment to the body, attachment to the mind, intelligence, ego, all this has been discarded from inside. You are more or less clear inside that none of this is me. Which one? Body, mind, intelligence, ego, none of them is me. That you are more or less convinced yourself, you are clear about that. Plus what else? You also become clear that karma is not the answer to the problem. Knowledge is the answer. This understanding will come at that stage. And Krishna says here that, and if you come to that state, Krishna says here, more or less you have come to the proper conclusion of the Veda. You come to the conclusion. So in order to bring us to that realization is all the Shastram up to that point. So Krishna's point here is, whether you have studied Vedam or not studied Vedam, whether you are you know the Shabda Brahmam or not, but in spite of whether you are Jnani or Ajnani, it doesn't matter if you haven't come to this realization. That's the way Krishna sees things. That means that if you there is this strong urge inside of the realization of the presence of the soul inside, if that's not strong developing inside, inquiry of the self, if your attention is not falling on the soul, in other words, Shraddha is not falling on the soul instead of the body and the mind and intelligence and ego, because you can see in ourselves, even if you have come out of karma, for example, suppose you have stopped all the karmams, even if you have got freed from that, still it's possible that your attention could be on the mind, on the ego, on the intelligence. In different layers, your attention can get stuck. Krishna says if your attention has left all that and then come to purely to the platform of the soul, then you can say that whether you have studied Vedam or not, you have reached the goal. Krishna is saying like that. That is what it says here. Chadurvedi abhiyo vigraha sushvam brahma na nindade vedabhara parakrandaha savai brahmana gardhavaha vasishtha smadi. Vasishtha Maharshi is saying this, that he is a brahmana gardhava if he hasn't got there. He has studied all the shastram, but he is a donkey among the, he is a brahmana among the donkeys, he says. Brahmana gardhava. That means, this is Vasishtha's way of saying this. Because you haven't got to the point where you are meant to be. You are not realizing the importance of spiritual life and self-realization. But you have studied all the shastram and you are talking big, big things. But ultimately, you are not coming to the right realization. That's why it's here. So, even if he has studied all the four Vedas, Krishna says here that this, what they call as Brahmavit, if you are not a Brahmavit, or if he doesn't have that jitnyasa, inquisitiveness inside, he is just a donkey who carries the old books of Vedam behind his back. That is the, all acharyas also say the same thing, that shabda jalam maharanyam chitta brahmana karanam, they say. That if you study a loads of books, but if you are not coming to this point of realization, then what was the use of studying all the books? That is the question. That you are just carrying all those books like a donkey carrying the load. You are carrying the books behind with you. But you are not coming to the proper understanding still. So you can't call him as Vedavit. Vedam, Krishna says, even if you do not know the sound vibrations properly. And so, whether you or you may have not known Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna properly. But if you know about the soul, and if you know about your identity, who you are, that person, he understands Vedam. He understands Vedam. That is Krishna's way. Krishna is saying like this, that even if you don't understand the Shabda Brahmam, all the Vedic hymns and their meanings and all those things, and even if you do not understand Krishna, we don't understand Krishna, but if you have knowledge of the soul, and if you are situated on the platform of the soul, Krishna says you have got the message of the Vedam. Knowing Krishna comes later, not before. First of all, realizing the truth what we are, isn't it? Only then you can relate with Krishna, after knowing yourself you are. It's very interesting actually, because you can see that at the moment, when we are operating in this world through our body, mind, intelligence, ego and everything, most of the time what we do is to please the mind. What the mind wants, we do it, isn't it? And Shastram is telling you are not even this mind. So you are pleasing someone falsely whom you are not. You are not the mind, but you are trying to please this mind throughout life. Through your actions. They give the example like this, that suppose you are caring for someone, a sick person. You decided to care for him and you're looking after that person very nicely. You are doing everything for him, thinking that you are doing the right thing. After you cared for him for a long period of time and he came out of the illness, when he came out of the illness, he didn't show any gratitude to you. He ditched you or let you down completely. And he acted in a way totally ungrateful to you. How will you feel? Exactly like that, Krishna is saying. This mind If you continuously pamper the mind and keep on doing things the whole life to please the mind, because you are not that mind, you are falsely you are serving someone. That is the point Krishna is saying. Falsely you are serving someone, and that is the mind which you are not. Just like falsely you have served someone, and then finally that person has let you down. You may have served with a pure heart, but still you may expect that a certain gratitude from that person for your service to him. But that person completely show no recognition of your service to him and totally shows ungratefulness to you. How will you feel? Krishna says the mind will do exactly the same thing to you, because you are not the mind and your whole life you are serving him. So whose fault is it? Krishna saying, it's your fault that you have gone and served something which you are not throughout life, and you are trying to find happiness through that person, false person. Because while serving also, somebody is serving another person, there is a certain amount of satisfaction that he is doing the right thing in life, to serving another living entity, isn't it? So it is like that. That is why it mentions like this. So knowing the self is more important first, who we are, before we start the service, isn't it? It's not good enough if you just say that, oh, I understand I'm not this body. That's not good enough. That has to go more than that. So, Vedic literature, Krishna is saying here that the whole purpose of this Vedic literature, Vedic studying Vedam, is to tell us this goal, that you're not the body, you're not the mind, you're not intelligence. Not on intellectual level, but in your attitude and Shraddha, it has to change. It has to shift completely. So Vedam, studying Vedam is included in that, but this Veda Dhyanam, knowledge, you will see coming to some people in a natural way in this life. They have not studied Vedam in this life. There Krishna is saying it has come from the previous life. They must have studied the Vedam in the previous life. That is why that vasana has followed them in this life. And therefore they will realize the truth in this life. They may have the vasana in the previous life. Our life is a whole long journey. In different bodies, how many human bodies we had before, we don't know. We have no. So several lifetimes we have gone through the human species, and in different human bodies we must have picked up some vasanas inside, and that has followed us along with that, and we have come here today as we are now. So it is difficult to say why, how these vasanas had come in the previous lifetime. That we don't have an account of that. So Krishna is saying here that they can become jnani here. So in jnanam, in knowledge, Vedam is included. But at the same time, in the knowledge, Vedam is included. But in the manifestation of the Vedam in the form of sound, knowledge may not be there. This is another interesting thing. As I mentioned yesterday, many people chant the Vedam. They can recite the Vedam properly. But they may not have got the message yet. So that is why a Brahmana who chants the Vedam, who understands the message also properly, he is the best. Among the Brahmanas also there is category. All Brahmanas are not same. You got the lowest among the Brahmana who is busy running marriages and all other things. That is the only for money living in this world. That is the lowest among the only thing he has got is a threat, nothing else. From that level, you have got right up to the highest level of the Brahmana who understand the Vedam, the message of the Vedam properly, lives a life like that, and knows, studied the Vedam very well, and live in that state all the time. So there's a variety of grades between them, in between all these things. So otherwise, Krishna says here that if you only, Krishna is talking about that Brahmana who just recite the Vedam. But they do not fully understand the Vedam. But Krishna recognizes them. He hasn't rejected them. He accepts them because they at least respect the Vedam. They may not understand the message of the Vedam, but they respect the Vedam. That is why Krishna has given them also a position in the spiritual life. Karmagandam. So therefore he says here that when they chant, only the sound is there, but Krishna loves hearing that hymns, Vedic hymns. and but they may not have got the real message, because the, many of these Vaidika Brahmanas who have gone in that direction of chanting the Vedic hymns, you will see they were living a normal householder life, but they will be very strict about their wealth. What is this Vedic chanting? They are trained in that way, and they will try to keep it up as long as they can, because they know that if they can chant the Vedic hymns, it pleases Krishna. That much they know about it. So they chant and they please Krishna in that way. And hours and hours they absorb in that. So after saying that, Krishna says here in Chandogya Upanishad, Narada Maharshi goes to Sanat Kumara Maharshi and says to him that I have studied all the Vedam, I have studied all the Shastram. But Narada Maharshi is saying this to Sanat Kumara Maharshi, but I only understand the sound of it. I don't understand the message, he says like that. And I haven't got the essence yet, he says to him. Please instruct me. Sanat Kumara Maharshi says to him, and that is where what is known in the Chandokyam, what they call it as Bhuma Vidya. Bhuma Vidya. Bhuma Vidya is given to Narada Maharshi. There is a loads of things like this in the Upanishad. Different vidyas, different rishis giving to different disciples. So here Narada Maharshi is a disciple in the Chandogya Upanishad of Sanat Kumara Maharshi. Sanat Kumara Maharshi is instructing Bhuma Vidya to him. Like Anyuchigi Vidya, Andaryami Vidya, Upakosala Vidya, Akshivirusha Vidya, Dahara Vidya. All these are different vidyas in the Upanishads for realizing the truth. So, so similarly, Krishna says here, ultimate goal of Vedam is self-realization. Krishna is stressing that again and again. And therefore he says, even if you have known Vedam, if you have not got that goal finally within you, which means liberation from this cycle of birth and death. Knowing the self means that also, isn't it? If you realize yourself, it means that cycle of birth and death is stopped. And knowledge, and then only then it has come to the final destination. So even if one hasn't got that good opportunity to study the Vedam, and if you have that goal in front, that this is the goal, Krishna says, and try through one of these three processes, which one? Bhakti, Jnanam, Karmam. And that process is available to everyone. That is the Bhagavatam's message. That even everybody in the world didn't have the opportunity to study Vedam from the age of 3 or 4 right up to 25, to spend the whole life in studying and chanting the Vedam in that way, to understand Vedam and to inquire about the Vedam, all this. Some of the books, if you read about the some learned Vedic scholars who are experts in different branches of the Vedam, that means Upanishads, and who are experts in the Rig Vedam, Yajurvedam, they will pick up individual verses from individual hymns from the Vedam, and they will expand on that. They will give you a lot of understanding. And they are quite learned people. There are many like that. They write expanded versions of the Vedic hymns only. Only Vedic hymns, they expand on that. And if, but that is not possible for everybody, because they have spent lifelong studying Vedam in that way. Others don't have that opportunity. Krishna is saying here, that doesn't matter if that doesn't happen. At least these three processes I have given to this world. Which one? Karma Margam, Bhakti Margam, Jnana Margam. Utilizing that, if you follow seriously, plus added to that, if my grace also comes, Krishna says, Krishna's grace. If that also comes, it is possible to realize the truth. He says like that. And it is possible because this will only happen. Krishna, when, what is Krishna's grace means? Krishna's grace is this. He gives you a lot of distress first. That is when grace begins. And after suffering through a lot, you have to feel inside, I had enough of this life in this world. That is preparing you for realizing the truth. That's what Krishna is saying. Then that understanding we must have when distress comes, to accept it that way, that this is Krishna is giving it to me. He had some good intention behind it. That is where all these problems had come in life. And that is the approach here. Krishna is saying like this. And if you are satisfied with life at that time, after going through enough in this world, and if you are prepared inside, inquiry has begun seriously inside, want to know the truth, that jnasa has come. Which means that when distress comes only, your attention goes inwards. Shraddha goes inwards, isn't it? Otherwise, Shraddha won't go. Mind will go in the world, planning different things. So he says here, that jnasa, if it comes, to satisfy that jnasa, the forces that is necessary is already there in the prakriti. In the material nature, it's all exist. Only thing is, we are not ready. That is the reason for that. You are not come across the right people. You are not coming across the right situation you are experiencing in life because you are not ready. That is the reason behind it. Krishna says like that. And Krishna says like that, at that particular point in time when you are ready, the right person also will descend in front of you. Krishna says, and Jnanavadesham, the right instruction will come, like the way it has happened to Parikshit. That is what Bhagavatam example is. Parikshit was not ready at one time, but when he was cursed by Sringi, and when he realized that this is the end of everything, complete Vairagyam came to Parikshit, isn't it? Threw away all his kingdom and palace, everything, and decided to go to the forest and sit there and think, what should I do? That question has to come. So you can see Parikshit was ready. We have not left anything, have we? We still have left our home there, ready to go back there. So you can see the difference between Parikshit and us. So Parikshit came to that state, and therefore Shukha Brahmarshi came at that time to tell him that, and you will hear and you will realize at that time. So now you may think, how am I going to understand all these things? That will be, but at that time you will know, it's the most surprising thing, that there was nothing to be known and everything will be very clear when you realize that truth. Anubhavam, Samadhi, Sakshalkaram, all those things will happen at that time. And this stage prior to that is what Krishna calls it as jnasa or inquisitiveness. So that jnasa is what you see in Uddhava. You see, you can see the way Uddhava is asking questions. Uddhava had enough of the world. You can see that in the verses. When you see the questions that's coming from Uddhava, if you look, he has reached that state of jnasa state. That he is saying to Krishna that lot of verses, you have to look what Uddhava has spoken in the Ekadasha Skandham. If you look, you will see Uddhava's thinking, how it's going. And you can also see when Uddhava met Vidura after Ekadasha Skandham, Uddhava says to Vidura, I've got what I want. To say this in life is very difficult, isn't it? Never we can say, I got what I want, yeah, because I'm always looking for something new. Whereas Uddhava is saying to Vidura, I've got what I want, now I don't need anything in this world. To say that so categorically, Krishna told Uddhava, I've given you what you need, take this, go to Badrinath, and reflect on this, what I have spoken, and then come back to me. So Uddhava also is saying, I've got what I want, I don't need anything else. And that is why, if you look into the third canto, you will see there that Sneha Prasara Sambhuda, he says, that when he, Purnartho Lakshita Snehena Sneha Prasara Sambhuda, there is a verse there, Uddhava, Vidura talking about, when Vidura saw Uddhava, when he looked at Uddhava, he saw something different, totally different. He was not the same Uddhava who was before, whom he has seen. Purnartho Lakshitasthena. In other words, the complete message of the Vedic literature has manifested there in him. Purna Artham Lakshitasthena. Sneha Prasara Sampluda. And that bliss was coming out from Uddhava. And Vidura was the witness of that, which he says in the third canto. Purnartho Lakshitasthena. Sneha Prasara Sampluda. He says like that. So here you can see here that this jnasa is the first thing. Jnasa, just one, you come to that understanding that, as Krishna mentioned before, that that somehow or the other, somehow how you got there, is doesn't matter. Either through distress in life, or by association with someone, or through your own inquiry, you have come to that point that jnasa has come to inquire about the truth. So Krishna is saying there, once that stage has come, and the best jnasu here is Uddhava. Uddhava's jnasa, you can see the questions he is asking and the way Krishna has answered them in those Ekadasha Skanda. You will see there. And this is called jnasa. Jnasa. So Bhagavatam begins with this word jnasa. Have you seen? Then if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, in the first canto, in the second chapter, Krishna is saying there, Sudha Goswami says there, without this jnasa, if you hear Bhagavatam, it will not have its effect. That is how he begins. So we don't take those things seriously. We think, oh, let's see what Bhagavatam has got to say. This is how we are. What has he got to say? Or what Bhagavatam has got to say? If you go to Bhagavatam like that, Bhagavatam won't tell you anything. You won't get the proper benefit of Bhagavatam. Benefit of Bhagavatam, he says here, that if you look, you'll see in the second chapter, he says that if you, after Sudha Goswami pays his respects to Shri Sudev Goswami and Sri Brahmashri, in other words, he is addressing the sages who are present in the Naimisharanyam. Naimisharanyam, they were all listening to him. So he started, and at that point, Sudha Goswami says there that, says to Shaunak Rishi, Shaunak Rishi is asking questions on behalf of all the sages who are present there, isn't it? So he says to him, Sudha Goswami says to Shaunak Rishi, Munayaha Sadhu Prashtoham, that my dear great sages, you are all great personalities, sadhus. Bhavadbir Loga Mangalam, because your question is very, very appropriate. Very appropriate questions you are asking me, because you have asked me this question, I have got an opportunity to talk about Krishna. Yal Krita Krishna Samprasno Yen Alma Suprasidadi. When you talk about Krishna, the self is satisfied. Why? Self is Krishna. That's why. Isn't it? Munayasada Prashto Oham Bhavadbir Loga Mangalam Yal Krita Krishna Samprasno Yen Alma Suprasidadi. Then a number of verses, they are very important verses, who says, Sudha Goswami says to the rishis, he says, Savai Pumsam Parodharmam Yadho Bhakti Ratho Kshaje Ahaituki Apratihada Yen Alma Samprasidadi Vasudeve Bhagavadi Bhakti Yoga Prayojita Janayatyashu Vairagyam Yanam Jayadahaitukam Dharmasanushtita Pumsam Vishwaksena Kathasuyal Nol Padayed Yadiradim Sharmai Evahi Kevalam Dharmasya Habavargasya Arthurthayova Kalpade Arthasya Dharmai Kandasya Kamo Labhaya Hismada Kamasi Indriya Priti Labho Jiveda Yavada. Then, after saying all that, Jivasya Tattva Jityasa Arthoya Cheha Karamabhi. That is the conclusion. You can read through those verses. Prabhupada has given very long, extended purports on those verses. So, if you'll see there, finally, he says, Kamasi Indriya Priti Labho Jiveda Yavada. What is the purpose in gratifying the senses? What is the profit from this life by doing that? Jivasya Tattva Jityasa. Jiva, living entity, should come to Tattva Jityasa state. He should come to inquire, why am I here for and who I am. And this inquiry is called Tattva Jityasa. And that Tattva Jityasa state is Uddhava now. Uddhava is asking that questions in that state. Jivasya Tattva Jityasa Marthas Cheha Karmabhi. Then, again in the next one or two verses, you will see, again he talks about this Tattva Jityasa. Vadandida Tattva Vidam Tattva Jnanamadvayam Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavanidi Shabdade. Then he says, Tat Shraddha Dhana Munayo. That rishis who are present there, with their Shraddha, cultivation of Shraddha, what has happened? Jnanam Vairagya Yuktaya. They reach that Jnanam and Vairagyam. And what will happen to them? Pashyandi Altmani Chalpmanam Bhaktya Shraddha Grahidaya. They were all seeing inside themselves who they are. Pashyandi Altmani Chalpmanam. And that Altmani Chalpmanam means inside they are seeing Krishna's presence inside. Bhaktiya Shruta Grahideya. At that time, bhakti, devotion in the heart for them. And you will see there that all those verses, and again you will see when you go into verse 20, Evam Prasanna Manaso Bhagaval Bhakti Yogada Bhagaval Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayade. That the Tattvajnanam happens. And then the same verse which Krishna spoke in the last chapter, Vidyade Hrudaye Granthi Chidyande Sava Samshaya Shriyante Chasti Karmani Drishto Evalmanishvare. There comes that. So my point here is that if you have come to that Tattva Jijnasa state, what does that indicate? That indicates that all your karma has come through well. That's what it indicates. If the proper Tattva Jijnasa has come inside, it's an indication that that karma vasana from inside has gone away. Everything is very connected in a subtle level. You won't be able to change all these things. There's no shortcut here. If the proper Tattva Jijnasa has come, then you can say that the karma vasana has more or less gone, and the karma also what one is doing has been purified, and karma shuddhi has happened to him. Only then Tattva Jijnasa will come. You see? That karma shuddhi is an important thing, because I mentioned Nishiddha karmam, Kamya karmam, Karma yogam, Vihida karmam, Karma shuddhi. All these stages goes through. You can't plan these things. That also you have to remember. You can't. You say, another 5 years I'll be executing the, I'm stopping Nishiddha karma. Five years I'll do Nishiddha karma. Then after 5 years I'm going to do Kamya karma. Another 5 years. And then I get to the top of the ladder. Then I'll stop that Kamya karma. Then I'll start 5 years Karma yogam. And then after that another 5 years Vihita karma. That's not how it works. As soon as you become serious about spiritual life, you understand the message and then you bring it in your life natural way. However you can purify yourself, that is a goal. Chitta Shuddhi has to happen. Karma Shuddhi has to happen. If that happens, this attention, Shraddha will go towards the soul. This is the guarantee what Krishna is saying here. So on the basis of that, that this Jijnasa comes, that if it is Jijnasa is coming properly inside, that means all karma has worked out very well inside, if the Jijnasa has come. And also, I want to not realize the self. That knowledge will come properly here. So, and that is why at that point you can't stop that person. He has already started his journey in spiritual life. Then you try very hard to pull him back, you won't be able to get him back to this world again. He will go inquiring, where can I get the truth? And that is, he is preparing himself for the next step of realization. So after that, bhakti, jnanam, karmam, all these yoga systems will work in his life. And which means, if you come to that state, that means Krishna's grace has started coming to that person's life. In his life, Krishna's grace is coming freely. This is what Krishna has spoken in this chapter, in this 21st chapter. Lot of things we have not spoken. The reason being, because they are too complex. And in our present level, I don't know whether we need all that things. I also don't know enough about it to say these things in a proper way. Sridharajari Swamiji writes about a lot of things, but even if I translate them to English to my capacity, still I don't know whether message will get through. We are not ready for it, to be the truthful about that. So a lot of things we have left behind. And anyhow, you have taken notice of some of the things what Krishna has spoken. And Krishna is going to expand some things further also. Krishna mentions how one thing makes you pure and one thing makes you impure and all other things like that. That those things you can read in the books. It's there. Remember I mentioned last 2 days how you purify the grains, how you purify the cloth, how you purify the deer skin and all our other rules and regulations about following the how to eat, how to control the life and all such things which we have spoken before, isn't it? for us, what is important is these three yoga systems. That's what's more important to us. We don't have to completely become the Vedic scholars and study all the Vedam and understand everything. That's not the goal. Goal is, Krishna says here, bhakti, jnanam, karmam. And that is all we are going to talk about it in these coming verses. Now, after this chapter, certain things. Because there is one more chapter before Bhagavad Gita, which is the 22nd chapter. Salsangam, normally in two different ways it happens. Salsangam happens in two different ways. One system is through going through the Shastra Artha. That means that you are hearing Shastram in depth. You are hearing the Shastram in depth. Every verse in the Bhagavatam, every verse in the Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads, you are hearing that in depth. That means that you are seeing the connection between all the Shastrams together. How the knowledge of the self is spoken in different ways in the different Vedic literature. Upanishads speak in one way, Bhagavatam says in a different way, Bhagavad Gita present it in another way, like that. So, in this chapter, Salsangam, Krishna is saying, is generally done in two different ways. One, reviewing the Shastram in detail and people getting absorbed in that. That is one method. The other method is that when you hear Shastram in the Abaroksha Anubhavam. Abaroksha Anubhavam means that inside yourself, when you are listening to the Shastram, within yourself, an experience of the truth. That is called Aparoksha Anubhuti, we call it. See, how our every one of us will react to situation is difficult to say. Each one of us is different. One of us are different, isn't it? Because we all have come with different vasanas, different knowledge, different spiritual level we are at. All of us are in different levels. And so when something is spoken, for one person it may not have created any effect. In another person, it may have had a very deep effect in him. This happens. That's quite common in spiritual life. That is why so many people listen to Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, isn't it? But everybody don't take it very seriously. Many people listen to it just as an entertainment. Or some people listen to it, let's see what Bhagavad Gita has to say. And some people probably ask a few questions about it and then leave it at that. There are many people who, when you have lectures on Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, even if you conduct them on a deeper level, everyone won't be inclined. Some people will take it seriously, that there is something serious there. And some people may not have, that is due to the receiver's difference in their Shraddha. Their Shraddha is a different level, that is why. So, here the important point is that if you want to follow the first process, Shastrartha Nirnaya Rupam, that means analyzing Shastram in depth and going through that process, the person who is speaking the Shastram, he must have a very deep knowledge about the topic. Ajinotihi Shastrani Acharya Stabayishyati Swayam Acharyate Chaiva Tasmad Acharya Muchyate. Acharya's definition. They are called Acharyas who are doing that. Who study Shastram in a very higher, deep level and who review the Shastram in that way. Acharyodhi Shastrani Acharya Stabayishyati. And they are Acharyas. They are called Acharyas. Acharya's definition. In other words, Shastram, from Shastram, they can extract the honey. Like the birds extract the honey from the bees extract the honey from the flower. In the same way, from they must have studied various Shastram. But from all that Shastram, they can extract the essence. So, that is one thing. They are capable of doing that. Studying various Shastram and extracting from that the essence, number one. Number two, he should be such a person. In the Shastram, there are so many Shastric injunctions. Isn't it? Shastric injunctions, you know what it means. That Shastram, based on your state, householder or sannyasi, grihastha or sannyasi or vanaprastha, whatever it may be, according to your position in the varnam, Shastram has given several injunctions to follow. You must have followed all of them properly in life. All the Shastric injunctions. Sannyasi means all the sannyasa dharmam he should have performed properly. Or if he's a householder, grihastha dharmam he should have followed properly. So it's like that. And then what else? And he should have led a life in that way. Whole life he should have done that. Not only that, he should, all his disciples, he should elevate them to that level. That which is a difficult job, isn't it? For them, acharyas have got great responsibility. He has to bring the disciples in that direction and bring them to their that higher level also. And he should give them all the instructions necessary. He should practice it himself. And in that disciple also, he should create the same inquisitiveness in him and to follow the rules and regulations and the same inquisitiveness to know the Shastram. He should generate that in the disciple as well. This is all Acharya's responsibility. That is why when we talk about all the great big Acharyas, this is what they were like. Shankaracharya, Ramanujan and all that, they were like this. That they lived a life based on the Shastram, and all of them were sannyasis. So naturally, sannyasa dharmam they followed strictly. Mahaprabhu also, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all of them, they followed the Shastram strictly. Then they all studied Shastram very well, and they have got the message of the Shastram, and according to the time, they have presented the Shastram. There is no difference between Acharyas. It's a misunderstanding. Like what Shankaracharya says is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying. That realize the self first. That's all. All are telling the same truth to us. That, but they are not. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never said don't realize the self. Atma Ramaschamanayo Nargrandhavi Virukrami Kurvandi Ahaitukim Bhaktim Itam Bodhaguna Hari. If you look at that verse, what is he saying? He is saying, Atmaramas, who have realized the self, they are the Atmaramas, Atmaramas. They execute bhakti. That is his, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's version of the spiritual life. What the Shankaracharya says? He is also saying the same thing. Realize the self, realize the self, realize the self. So where is the difference between the Acharyas? The philosophical interpretations, which comes in the form of Advaitam, Dvaitam and all, that's all on an intellectual platform. But as far as spiritual realization is concerned, they all have to say only one thing. Realize the self first. Realize the self first. So we also have to realize the self first. And then we have to see what happens after that. You don't have to worry about today here whether this acharya is right, that acharya is right, this philosophy is right, that. That's all madness. That's not going to help very fast. Important thing is to realize that goal first, realizing the self. So, here, that is what, that Shastram is saying these things. What is that? In the form of bhakti process, upasana vishayam, karma vishayam, jnana vishayam. Like you can see, Mahaprabhu's philosophy was centered around upasana vishayam, bhakti margam. He followed that. Ramanuja followed the bhakti margam. Shankaracharya followed the jnana margam, whichever way it has. So, that is why, that is why if you ask a question to somebody and if he gives you an answer, you have to follow that also, isn't it? It should not be otherwise it is, you shouldn't ask the question. If you are asking a question, the acharyas are particular about that. They will say to you that you are asking the question, I'll give you the answer, but then you should follow that. You shouldn't say, don't come and start questioning me and saying, acharya saying it's like that, that you are evaluating me, he says. Acharya's answers are like that. Don't evaluate me. You ask me a question, I'll give you the answer. But then you should follow that. Don't ask, waste time otherwise, he said. So, So, in order for him to say that, he must have some prescriptions, isn't it? Acharyas must have some way of presenting it to the person who has approached him, some prescriptions. And that is this do's and don'ts. Vidhi and Nishedam has come like that. Vidhi Nishedam in the Shastram has come like that. Therefore, you can see here, when they go to Acharyas, they engage the disciples in a particular way, either through Karma Margam or Jnana Margam or Bhakti Margam. They will give you the instructions. And we do according to their instructions. At Kartra Tatraha. And if you ask the question, that is what is called as Karma Tandram. Karma Tandram it is called. Now if you ask the question, that will that be of any benefit in the Salsangam? Answer is that, in Salsangam it is like this, that Salsangam also, based on the place, time, place, and the samskaram or circumstances, you may have to adjust these things. Adjust these things. And sometimes you can see, even in Salsangam, if many things are spoken, you have to also remember, is it possible for that person to follow it through? To follow it through. And so the question will come that, is it worthwhile talking about all these things when somebody cannot follow it through? So this is the question. So Shastram generally calls it as Anushasanam. Anushasanam means Edada Anushasanam Eva Upasidam, which means that Vedam always say, talk in like this. They will give you instruction, injunctions. That's why we say Vedic injunctions. Injunction it is. That means you must do it. There is no question of choice there. It's not a multiple choice question. You must do it. That's how Vedam injunctions, Vedic injunctions are. So, why Vedam says like that? Vedam says, if you want to make your life successful, if you want to realize the truth, you have to do like this. There is no alternative to it. This is how Vedam says like that. So it is based on that, so many things what Krishna has spoken. Based on that Vedic injunctions, what he spoke in the last chapter, many things. So, a few things Krishna has spoken. Not everything. A few things Krishna has picked up and spoken there. And some things, when you have heard, I'm sure, you have felt that no connection with it. What am I supposed to do with it? All these things. Like this, grains drying in the wind, and fresh cloth dipping in the water. You think, is this all going to make me spiritual? You may start, that thoughts must have come through your mind. Because we are all like that, isn't it? But the question is and that is because those instructions, when it changes the time and place, it becomes somewhat meaningless. Some of those instructions, what we spoke about yesterday. And he mentions there yesterday that how much it makes sense doesn't matter. Just accept it that way. You may or may not do it. That also is not important. Whether you do it or not. He mentioned that certain things, if you dip in the water, it gets pure. Isn't it? So, remember yesterday many things we said about the purity of the water. Somebody said chlorine is there, so water is pure. We accepted it. Why? Scientists told us it has killed all the germs in the water, so the water is pure. And if you say that, you know the, what do they call it, the water, they have this recycling plant. What do they call it? The water processing plant. They process the water, isn't it? Sewage water, in big cities where they don't have enough clean water, they purify the water through their chemical process and send it to you. And you are using it as, you are accepting it as fresh water and you are using it. Now, science is telling us that water is pure. But inside you, in your mind, you think that water, is it pure? You can ask the question, isn't it? That can you use that water for deity worship, for abhisheking the deity, for for bathing the deity, for drinking the water. All these questions will come. You can't avoid this. But then what is that's available is that water. That's what is available. What can you do? You're living on the 14th floor in some big city, and that's what's available. So here it is like that. So those injunctions, if you take it very much into the to its fineness, it becomes very difficult. But Krishna said certain things yesterday, that if you dip the water in water, the cloth in the water, it gets pure. It gets pure. Grains, if you dry them in the sun, it becomes pure. Ghee and other things, if you boil them, oil and all, if you boil them, it'll get pure. It'll get pure. So, like this, so many things Krishna has spoken in the last chapter. Some of them is dependent on your Shraddha. Some of them depends on your faith in all these things. It's like that. Some, especially, this can become a big problem, this purity, pure, impure things. Some people who are very particular about this ajaram, these are called ajaram. Ajaram means who are very concerned about the right and wrong of everything. And they would have followed their parents or grandparents like that. They've grown up with them and they must have seen their mother and father doing certain things and they start doing the same thing. And when they come to city, they find it very difficult to follow all their old rules and regulations. They find that very difficult. So, there was one sannyasi and his mother, he left home at a very early age and went and lived in the ashramam in a very isolated place for several years. He was living there at the ashram. And while he was living in the ashram, which was far away from home, he had to naturally adjust to the situation where he was. But because he was knowledgeable about the self and he had done inquiry about the self very well, these little acharams, what he followed in the village, did not bother him very much. But then what happened was that his mother in the village, who was following everything very rigidly, she got very old. She was getting very old. So she decided that I'll go and spend my remaining life with my son. So she decided to travel all the way and to come and stay with the son. Son is a sannyasi there. And this sannyasi had many learned disciples also with him, living with him. So when the mother arrived, naturally all the sannyasi and his disciples, they all had respect for her being the mother of the rishi who was there, and they were looking after her. But her habits like this, her attachment to all these vidhinishetham, do's and don'ts, was causing problem in the ashram. Like she will come into the kitchen and she will see the people there. She will make sure, have you all taken bath first in the morning? She will make sure they've all taken bath. Then she'll check all their clothes on, whether they're all wearing the clean clothes. They've all dressed properly and they've all got the proper clothes. And she'll keep an eye on them in everything, whatever they do. Because she was very particular about everything. Her standard was very high from the village where she came from. And she also had this habit that generally among the Brahmana families also, water is the biggest purifier for them. They'll always carry water. You can see sannyasis also have got a water pot with them. Why? Because they know they may touch many people in this world unknowingly. Then what will they do? They'll touch the water. If you touch the water, you're considered to be pure. That is a system that they follow. That is normal. So that's why this water pot all the time they carry. We also carry water, AVN, for our inside purification. So, the sannyasis carry water with that goal, purpose. So, this mother who came from the village, she had this habit. If anything, she sees, sometimes you can see very easily yourself that while cutting vegetables, suppose something, you got a scratch and wipe the face, she expects you to go and wash the hands before cutting the next vegetable. So somewhere she will find fault like this with everybody. And she was finding life difficult herself with all the people around because of her higher Acharya Shuddhi, standard of purification. She come from the village, she doesn't know anything else, that's all what she has known all through her life. So she kept that standard and she tried to implement that in this ashram, which was a very cold place as well. You can imagine in a cold place like that too, everything changes, isn't it? In the hot weather when you live in a different one way. In the very cold weather, your lifestyle also changes. The clothes you wear, and sometimes you have so many clothes on your body, all the clothes may not be washed every day. Whereas in the hot weather, you have to wash your clothes every day. In one day only you can wear the cotton clothes, dhoti and your shirt, everything. You have to wash every day, otherwise they'll be completely sweaty and smelly. Whereas in the very cold weather in Badrinath and Kedarnath and all that, you can't do that. So she has come here and she wanted to do the same thing what she did. And there in the cold weather, you have got the jumpers, pullover and muffler and shawl, everything. You can't wash them every day, can you? That means you'll be only washing the clothes all day, nothing else. So this mother who came there, she couldn't adjust with the situation. And she was feeling life very miserable. Because of the practice throughout life, she found it very difficult. So what she used to do, and not only that, the moment she felt that I am impure, she'll go and bathe. So how many times can you bathe in life in a day, in a cold weather, you can imagine. She was bathing every day many, many times. And she's getting old as well. Couldn't give up the habit. And in the cold weather, it was getting difficult. That means she needs warm water to bathe in the cold weather. And the ashram people has to arrange everything for her. She's old, so naturally you need to help her also. So when it became too complicated, the one of the learned maids in the ashram, a devotee was staying in the ashram, told her that, you know, your son, who is very, very pure, he is giving us all help in spiritual life. He is so pure. So in future, if you feel that you become impure, go and just touch him. That's enough. So she started doing that. Somehow they said, it changed there, because at least that way, you got rid of the problem of bathing every time and managed to escape from that. So, but the learned person didn't have any problem, because what his point was this, that, and this sannyasi used to say, when the mother was coming closer to him, he said, somebody must have touched her. That's why she's coming to me now, to touch me, to get pure. And he was feeling very funny about it, because he's saying, this five material elements is in everyone. Is there any difference there? Because of his knowledge and realization. He says, whether you touch someone and think that that person is impure and I am pure, when you know that that person is also the same five material elements, I am also the same five material elements. So he says here that, but if it is going to make her peaceful, let her come and touch me and go, feeling that she has become pure. So Panchabhuta Atmakam, that is the point Krishna is making there, that five material elements is in everybody. So in that sense, nobody is impure, or everybody is impure, or nobody is pure in that sense. So on that sense, you can say that everyone is the same. And if you come to that realization, then this pure, impure things you have transcended. You have crossed over that, isn't it? Panchabhudalpagam sarvam. Manager Janasannipam. So it's not good enough saying that, but we have to come to that understanding that it is five material elements in everything. But when it comes to practical life, that is where all the difficulties comes, isn't it? This is pure, this is impure. So even if you have not followed what Shastram has, because Vidhi Nishedam, this do's and don'ts, is based on this, that that this is pure, this is impure. But when you look at it from another angle, it's all made of five material elements, what's pure and what is impure. But then these rules and regulations are there for us, isn't it? So practically applying them in life, it becomes a little bit of problem. For realized soul, they don't have any difference. They don't have any difference between anybody. they can eat with anyone, they can give food to any, serve food to anyone, because they have reached that stage of realizing the self, that the Chaitanyam or living force in everyone is the same. If you have that realization that the living force within all living beings is one and the same, and all living entities are made of the five material elements, if it has happened in realization in us, then he doesn't need any do's and don'ts. None of these within Nishedam. That is why Krishna was saying yesterday, what we spoke about, that all this is within the periphery of Maya. Isn't it? All these rules and regulations of right and wrong, good and bad, do's and don'ts, is all within the jurisdiction of Maya. So, but if you have jumped out of that jurisdiction, from Maya's grip, if you have come out, and if you have come to the state that realizing completely inside that there is only one living force present in everyone, and all bodies are made of five material elements, then all those rules, do's, don'ts, good, bad, right, wrong, doesn't apply anymore. That's the point Krishna's making. You see the problem? Then the 21st chapter, what we discussed yesterday, so many Vijinishedam we spoke about, only applies if you are within the jurisdiction of Maya. Maya's circle. Maya's circle is three modes of material nature, and then along with that, these do's and don'ts, and right and wrong, and pure and impure, and all other things associated with that. All the rules apply then, if you are inside the Maya. But once you have escaped from Maya, that means you are no more identifying with the body. You are completely in realization of the one self who is present in everyone. That means identification with the self is complete. And plus, you only see the body as a or the combination of five material elements. Nothing more than a. Not, that means not giving any more importance to name and form. Namarupam has gone. You see a body, it is five material elements that. That's what it is. If this realization stage has come, that person has no more obliged to follow any of the rules or regulations. What Krishna says like that. Rules and regulations are within the jurisdiction of Maya, within the periphery of Maya. So, what else happens? If you come to that stage, when it comes to practice, you will know when whatever you do in this world, it will be right. It won't be wrong. Shuddham, ashuddham, pure, impurity, all these things. Even if you don't follow based on the Shastram, whatever you do, it will be alright. Yeah. That means that normally you can see in a normal person, suppose like in our case, we are trying to understand from the Shastram, like you can see in deity worship, Hari Bhakti Vilasam, and also Nectar Devotion, and books like that, you'll see a lot of instructions there, isn't it? Injunctions. What to do, what you should do in deity worship, what you shouldn't do while doing deity worship, when you enter the temple room, how you should be, what you should not be. Lot of things mentioned there, isn't it? You shouldn't speak loudly in front of the deity. You should not speak any mundane things in front of the deity. You should not show your back to the deity. These are all rules, yes, no, to the regulations for the ordinary people who are within Maya. Or within Maya. You shouldn't read newspaper in the temple room. You shouldn't do so. Endless it is, that list. But so many things are summarized there, isn't it? In the Nectar Devotion and Advaita Vilasam books and all that. So, all these rules and regulations is only applied at a certain stage in life. But if for a realized soul, he has gone beyond all these things. But sometimes you will see even them, they will follow certain rules so that others don't get misled. Therefore, they follow the rules and regulations for the benefit of the others, not for their own benefit. They have gone beyond than that. But still, in order that the rest of the society does not get misled, therefore they will still follow them for their benefit. That's another thing. So, but those who have transcended everything, for them there is nothing pure, impure in this world. But so long as you are in this world, in the group company of others, you have to follow certain rules. You have to follow. So it is like that all this vidhi nishedam has come. Just saying how the origin of all these things, how it has come into existence. All these things, Brahmasutra Bhashyam, when Acharya wrote, he explains that in the beginning itself, where he says, Pashuadi Vishcha Avisheshas. All these rules and regulations, he says there in the Brahmasutra, Vedanta Sutra Bhashyam, he says there, all this knowledge, these rules, regulations, everything, as far as spiritual life is concerned, it's only for the cows, for the dogs, for the cats and the rats, he says. What does that mean? It means that only you need that much intelligence to follow these things. You don't need a big intelligence. This is the problem. You can see, people come to spiritual life and they pick up some rules from books. And they start going on and on and on with it, saying that I am following all rules and regulations. This is it, everything. Acharya is saying that is nothing. To follow like this, all what you need, the intelligence of a cat or a dog or a cow or a rat, that's all you need, he's saying. That's how he begins his commentary with the Brahma Sutra. He says like this. Pashuadi Bhishcha Avisheshad. Say that much intelligence. So, and what else? Why is he saying like that? There's a reason behind it, he said. If you say cow is standing there, a cow is standing there. If you show some grass from here to the cow, cow will come to you. Isn't it? If you show the grass, cow will come to you. If you take a stick in the hand, cow will run. All these animals are like that. If you show the milk to the cat, it will come to you. If you take a stick and try to beat the cat, it will run. Dog is same thing. So all these animals, their nature is like that. You show something, they'll come to you. If you take the stick, they will run. They will run. So he says here that this same rule applies to human society also. Right from the most intelligent person, most civilized person, right up to the very common man, uncivilized person, he says, the common logic they apply in this world is this. This is Acharya Swami's opinion. He says, in their vyavaharam, in their transactions in this world, this is the principle they follow. Harita Tranapurnam Pani Ubalabhya Abhimukhi Bhavati Dandodhyakaram Pratipalayanam Arapathe. That is how he puts it like that. What it means is that if you take the stick, they will run. And if you give something to eat, they'll come. If you give something to eat, they'll come. If you take the stick, they will run. So, if you go close to them in a pleasing way, they will come to you. If you go in a painful way, they will run. Or if they find something very pleasing in this world, they will go after that. If they find something very painful in this world, they will run away from that. That is what it means. Haridam Tirnam. Haridatirnam means green grass. Haridatirnam Purna Pani Ubalabhyam. If you put it in the hand and show it to him, Abhimukhi Bhavati, it will come to you. And Dandodhyakaram Pratipalayanam Arapade. If you take the stick, they will run. Acharya Swamiji begins Vedanta Sutra commentary with these comments. Then he says, basically what it's saying is that if every living entity in this world, which is correct also, isn't it? If you find something pleasing, it's giving you some pleasure, it will go after that. If you know that something is very painful, then you will run away from that. This is the principle. That's what he's saying. This is the principle. So, it is on this principle, two principles. If something is pleasing, go after that. If something is unpleasant or painful, run away from that. It is on this principle, everybody is operating in nature. Everybody operates in nature. So, within that law, within that circle, is all these vidhi and pradishedam. In other words, these do's and don'ts is all within this circle. That's what he's saying. You see? Do you understand what he's saying? That this do's and don'ts, laws and regulations, what we have created, is all within this circle. And all Shastram also related to that is within that circle. Within that circle. So, so that includes, if you talk about it correctly, even those literature which is in relationship with liberation, Shastram, that is also is included in that. That all the Shastram related to liberation is also included in that, because he says that in reality we were never bound. That's the most difficult thing, isn't it? We were never bound. Krishna is also saying the same thing. Name moksho na bandhanam, he says. There is no bondage, there is no liberation. We keep on saying self-realization, self-realization. On the other hand, Krishna is saying there is nothing to realize. It's already there. But what is happening then? What is spiritual life then? We are talking about. So here, where is the bondage and where is the liberation? Where is that happened? Liberation, if you look into Atma, that bodham awareness is eternal. It is eternal. It is pure. Nitya Shuddha. And then it is always conscious. Isn't it? Buddha. Fully, purely conscious it is the self. And it's always liberated. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. That is what we are. And this is the truth also. And that is why they say that if you make with the gold so many forms you have made. Ramachandra's form, Krishna's form. And you also made Ravana's form, Kumbhakarna's form and all other things. People are coming. And when they see Ravana's form and Krishna's form, they are paying obeisances. When they see Ravana and Kumbhakarna, they don't even look at them. They walk away from there. Ordinary people talking about. A thief has come. He looked at them. He only looked at the gold. He didn't look at the form. He realized that Ravana weighs more than Rama. So let me have Ravana first. For him, Ravana is more important because gold is more important for him. This is how life is, isn't it, in this world. So he is looking at the gold and the so-called devotee is looking at the form. The thief is looking at the gold and the devotee is looking at the form. So what mentions here is that Atma Tattvam, one who has realized the self, two things will be very clear to him. That there is no such thing called evolution. We talk about evolution a lot, isn't it? There is no thing called evolution. This is what is called Kanagaiva Mahabuddhi. Kanagaiva Mahabuddhi means that gold is available in different forms. Yes, it comes in different forms. Bangles, chain, crown, golden crown, golden anklets and golden bells. Udhyanam they call it. And there's so many things you make out of gold. And we look at them and say, I like this, I don't like that. Different designs we look at. But one who sees only it is all made of the same gold, he is called Kanagaiva Mahabuddhi. His intelligence is superior because he is seeing the gold rather than the jewelry, what it's made from. So, because of that, what is it? That he, similarly, instead of seeing the name and the form all the time, when you see the Atma inside, he's like that thief. He's seeing what we are actually made of. So, that is why it says here that, that this one who has realized the self, yeah? Now, you know this Darwin's theory, don't you? That famous thing, theory. And a lot of people accept that. Darwin is taught in the school and other places also. A lot of people reject that also. Darwin's theory, isn't it? So here, Krishna's point is that a person who is self-realized, he will never accept evolution. Because for him, evolution doesn't exist. Evolution doesn't exist. What it is what is evolving actually? What is actually evolving? Spirit soul never evolves, is it? Evolution doesn't happen for the spirit soul. How can spirit? Because he is always spirit soul. Where is this so-called evolution happening? So they first reject this evolution principle. Principle of evolution is rejected there itself. Recycling is going on. We can agree with that. That body is changing. You are leaving one body, accepting another body. But then where is the evolution there? There is no evolution there. It's a misunderstanding completely. As soon as you accept. So, so you can see here, this word itself, Parinamam they call it. Parinamavadam. That is in Sanskrit. It's already existing. Much before Darwin brought out this theory, it existed in the Shastram. Parinamavadam they call it. Parinamam and Vivartam. Two things related to that. Parinamam is not there. Even if you perform 100 years of sadhana, then, and even then, you are going to die. I'm not going to get my youth back, am I? Even if I do 100 years sadhana, chant Hare Krishna. So, Parinamam is not going to happen. Things I'll get, deterioration only happens here. Only deterioration happens here. So, therefore, he mentions here that. You can say like this, then this body has come now, like this, and this body will go, come and go. That is what is actually happening here. So, there is one example that yogis, they have their kundalini power, it's a kundalini shakti, that keeps rising in the body. And after a while, it will go and stay in one place, in one of the chakram, it will stay like that. So, and sometimes yogis notice that it has risen far and then it has gone back and stayed in the same place where it originally started from. In Panjali's Yoga Sutra explains a lot of things like that. So, basically what they are saying is, there is no such thing as Parinamam. Evolution. Parinamam doesn't happen. Therefore, that whatever way we are today, whatever age we are, whatever type of body we have, or whatever situation we are in today, in this present situation itself, if you realize the truth, you are perfect. Do you understand that thinking? What it is? What Krishna is saying here is that today you are in a body, human body, at a different age group, doesn't matter what it is. Krishna is saying that this self inside doesn't require to go through an evolution process. Right now, if you have got that Chitta Shuddhi inside and realized the truth here now, you are perfect after that. After that, all what will happen is that the body will drop off one day and go. That's it, and you have reached the perfection in life. So, because inside you is always perfect. The person inside, Atma, he is always perfect. He doesn't go through any evolution or any kind of education or any kind of transformation. Nothing is required for the Vastu inside, Krishna inside. He is already perfect. That is the point he is making here. It is perfect. And in order to make it perfect, you don't have to add anything to it or take anything out of it. What it is happening here, and you can't add anything to it, you can't take anything out of it, on its own, it is perfect. Then what does the Shastram and the Guru does? What he does is, he says that he makes you realize that you are that. That Vastu inside. Tattvamasi, he says like that, isn't it? So, you are not the body. If you are the body, then you have to make some changes in your body. But you are not the body. Suppose, say for self-realization, we say that you need a particular type of body. Then you have to modify the body. But you are not the body. So what's the point in doing any modification with the body? And what changes can you make in the body? So for example, last 30 years, or 25 years, you are all chanting Hare Krishna. I am chanting Hare Krishna. And I am seeing you for many years. You are also seeing me for many years. And what's happening now? Getting older. All of us are getting older. I am also getting older. Little by little losing the body is changing. Body is going. It's on its way out. Which you are know about then. So, after a while you know that you won't be able to even walk. And you will lose all the strength. So, practically the strength of the body is going away. Isn't it? It's going away. Now, if I start thinking that doing sadhana more and more, I'm going to become young and get my strength back. No, it's not going to happen. Isn't it? So, and am I going to become a yogi in that way? No, it's not going to happen. So, I have to know very well that there is no thing called evolution happening here. All what's happening is body is getting continuously destroyed and it's going to go one day in its own way. And that all the problems of the body is coming one after the other. Whether I'm doing sadhana, I'm not doing sadhana, it's going to come. It's going to happen. So Krishna saying here is that the body, if you approach in a spiritual level towards the body, it's not going to work. You have to realize this, that inside that self, which I am, the Atma, he is always perfect. What is required is my identification with the body has to go, identification with the self has to happen. Only then I can escape from this. There is no other way. There is no question of improving my spirituality by changing the body, by improving the body, by modifying the body, or whatever you may do with the body, that is not going to listen. Body will go its own way. So leave behind the body, don't give too much importance to the body. That's the message. Krishna is saying, how can you take your attention away from the body and move towards the real I inside who I am? Actually, what Krishna has spoken. And therefore, body is not meant for any kind of repair work. It's not going to fix. It's not going to change the situation. It will happen its own way. It will go its own way. As far as the mind is concerned, take for example, the mind. First body, then the mind. Mind is like this. As you get up in the morning, you will feel hungry. It's not going to go away because you take to spiritual life. Similarly, if I get very hot, I'll say, is there a fan around? I will ask for that, isn't it? All these things are not going to change. Then what is happening here is that what you are doing is, you are saying, I am none of these. That means, I am actually not this body which wants all these things, comforts. Or, I am not the mind which is desiring so many different things. I am losing my connection with that by not identifying with it. That is the way to come out of it, to come out of the body. Not identifying with the body, not identifying with the mind in that way. So, because my swarupam, my real identity is spirit, not Atma, in other words. And instead of trying to change the body, modify the body, or trying to improve the body conditions, or mind and intelligence, I should not give my attention. You know how much problem we have got because of our identification with the body. All problems are from that. All problems are from that. And then all the solutions we are looking for is also on the platform of the body and the mind. Or also in the platform of the body and the mind. We come through spiritual life. A major part of our life we spend with institutions, with people in spiritual directions, thinking that everything is going to work out nicely. But then something happened in life. Institutions could not offer the proper guidance and help. And then you got into problems with the institutions in one way or the other. And then in your own mind, you become disturbed. I have so many years I've gone to spiritual life, everything becomes finally a disaster. And then what happens? Nervous breakdown. Then going to mental institutions for treatment. Even up to that point, you are still identifying with the body and the mind. It happened to many, many people. I'm not seeing not one case, many cases. In life, they came to spiritual life in some way, they entered into spiritual life, and without understanding spiritual life properly, they followed people, followed institutions, and in due course of time, they ended up in the mental hospital. Some of them physically deranged, some of them mentally deranged. So many cases like that. Even today, it is happening, so many cases. Why is that happening? Because from day one, the goal is not clear. They are always thinking that by sticking together, by being on a bodily level, identifying with others, and being in a bodily level, cooperating things, spiritual life will develop. No, that's not the solution. Yesterday, when we mentioned this, in Sanatana Dharmam, in Vedic philosophy, they treat you as individual. If you want to realize the truth, and if you escape from this world of this duality, world of duality, dvandvam, and the society, you escape, you are not bound by any rule in this world, because they consider this as a prison. Vedam says this as a prison. All your so-called rules and regulations is within this prison, what we are making. So, Krishna's point is here, is also that, that only if your attention and Shraddha is in the Swarupam, your identity all the time, it has to be there, that I am not this body. In that concept, if you live like that, then Krishna is saying here, if it is there, the Shraddha is there, and you are not at all concerned about the body or the mind, and then you are living spiritual. That is spiritual life. If you are not concerned about your body or mind, and if your Shraddha is all the time on the soul, and then you are, spiritual life is going okay. By exercise, yoga or discipline, you can maintain your body or adjust it, whatever you want to do with it. Isn't it? So it is something like a tool, what you have got, this body. You can do exercise, maintain for that purpose, to maintain it, adjust it whichever way, by taking medicines or whatever food, adjusting the diet and all that. And by disciplining yourself, whichever way it may help, you can utilize all that. But you have to remember all the time, you are not that body. In that way you have to live spiritually. While doing all that, you have to know you are not that body. Whereas most of the people don't do that, do they? When they go into yoga process also, they are not conscious that they are not that body. They are thinking that if my body becomes very beautiful, or they are thinking you may not get blood pressure if you follow the yoga process that way, or the heart attack, various things, isn't it? Or some peace inside, you are practicing yoga. All of them are misleading. That's what Krishna is saying. Krishna's point is that while you are in the any yoga process, that's all for the body and the mind. That's okay. This Ashtanga Yoga and other things. But while doing all that thing, you should be fully conscious that it is wrong to identify with the body or the mind. So, therefore, Swarupam, your identity, you have to remain without being affected by any of these things. So, and you have heard now, Krishna spoke so many things in the 13th chapter, if you remember, that Hamsa Gita is all centered around this one principle. And after hearing all these things, the best of all, Bhagavadam, that 13th chapter, where Krishna spoke very strongly about the identification of the soul, he spoke, and why it hasn't come in our realization yet? Nothing has happened. What is the reason? So, till that realization comes, Krishna is saying, like you pour the ghee from one pot to another pot, how it keeps flowing? In the similar way, Krishna is saying that continuously you should reflect on this Ekadasha Skandam. So many things. When did we start Ekadasham? Ekadasham we started about 5 years ago. Isn't it? 5 years you have been hearing Ekadasha Skandam. Krishna is saying, this Ekadasha Skandam, like you pour the oil or the ghee from one pot to another, when it comes, how it continuously flows, In the same way, Ekadasham should flow through you all the time. That is the Krishna's words on this canto, 11th canto, particularly this Ekadasha Skanda. That is how much valuable it is, because this knowledge of the Ekadasham, 10th chapter, 11th, from 7th chapter onwards, Krishna starts instructions to Uddhava, isn't it? Tundu sarvam parityajya sneham sajana bandhushu maya aveshya mana samyak samadra vijara sugam. From there he begins. So, here is the best teacher, here is the best student, Uddhava. Best teacher, Krishna, and best student, Uddhava. And they are talking to each other. So, this transaction, or this samvadam, or communication between Krishna and Uddhava, this should flow through us continuously. That is what Krishna is expecting from us. So, vichiti means without any interruption. One has to pursue that. And you should not give it up after you go from here. You shouldn't say that, oh, we are on the 21st chapter. But that it should remain that all these previous 20 chapters also should stay inside. Till you yourself realize it. That's what Krishna says. And up to that time, you have to continuously churn it inside, this knowledge of the self. So, if it's like that, Krishna says, then this Brahma means this illusion, to achieve something will go from inside. Attainment. You know, it's a Brahmam in the spiritual life also. When anybody comes to spiritual life, they're always thinking that I have to achieve something later. But once this knowledge, Krishna says, if it is properly reviewed inside all the time, mananam, reflection inside happens, then that Brahmam will go from inside. There is nothing to achieve. You will know, and you will get back your own identity. Get your own identity back. That is what Krishna mentioned here. Krishna didn't say, because this Brahmam, this illusion is in different ways. I will do something in this world and I will go to another world where I will enjoy. This thought has to go from inside. In every religion it is there. I'll do something here good, and then after death, there waiting, that world is waiting there to take me on. And even among us also, devotees also, we are thinking like that. Isn't it? That we may have done a lot of nonsense in life. Still, I am thinking that at the time of death, some devotees have come and chanted the holy name, I'll be in the spirit, Golokam, I'll get there. Krishna is not saying that. Krishna is saying to us that very understanding must go from inside. Right now, here itself, all what is necessary is this misunderstanding has to go from inside. That in spiritual life, I have to get something. All what is needed, Krishna says, I have to lose this identity with the body and get my real identity back, what I am. And when that happens, everything will be solved, resolved with that the problem. That is what, and give up all this Brahmam. Krishna says, this is called Brahmam. And you can see that word Krishna used in that chapter, in the chapter also. He uses the word, if you look at the 31st verse, he says, it's called Brahmam. Actually, Uddhava uses that word Brahmam. Uddhava says, previously also he says that, he mentioned that in the 12th chapter also. And again, he mentions that in that chapter we started, I think it is in the 19th chapter also, he mentions that word Brahmam. Brahmam is the right word. If you look into the 20th chapter, 5th verse, he says that vidhayam idiha brahmam. Brahmam is, this is all Brahmam. What is the Brahmam? Brahmam is this, that I will do something here, some good things, and then I will go to there. So some place where I will be Ine, everything will be okay then after that. I would have to work. The salary check will come on time. And no mortgage, nothing, everything. Life is very comfortable. This kind of imagination, imaginated state of liberation. What we have imagined in our mind. It's all imagination. That's what Krishna is saying. That going somewhere else, and somewhere else everything is going to be nice. Some illusion in the head. That is called Brahmam. Uddhava talks about the same word, Brahmam. That Brahmam is a very special word in the Shastram. They say, it's coming from the mind. According to your desire, the Brahmam will change from person to person. And you will see that same Uddhava uses the word Brahmam in the 11th chapter, in the 12th chapter. Also, he says the same word Brahmam. If you look into the 12th chapter, you will see that while talking about Salsangam, prior to that, Uddhava uses the word Brahmam there also. That is in the 12th chapter, I think. verse 16. 12, 16. 11, 12, 16. Samshaya, Uddhava Vacha. Samshaya Shrunutu Vacham Tava Yogeshwareshwara Na Nivartada Almasto Yenam Brahmyadi Memana. When Brahmam happens to a person, he is called Brahmyadi. From Brahmam comes Brahmyadi. So, Yenam Brahmyadi Memana. Here also he is saying Brahmam. Krishna is saying Brahmam. So, Brahmam is the, this is a Brahmam. What is the Brahmam? Brahmam is this, that I will do something, some good things here. I will live comfortably here and I'll make sure everything is okay here. And then after death, I will go somewhere, everything is very nice. Everything is very nice, organized, everything arranged for me properly. And from then on, no problem. Life is eternally, thereafter I'll be very happy. This is Brahmam. This is Brahmam, it is. And we are all living with that hope today. Isn't it? That I'm living spiritual life, I'm chanting, and inside is saying that after death I'm going to a good place. And if other people also is saying that I'm going to a good place, I'm satisfied. A few other people have to tell me. That's all I need. Krishna doesn't go in that way. This is all cheating ourselves. We are all cheating ourselves in that way. It's not going to happen. That's the point. If Guru or Sannyasi or somebody says, oh, he's gone back, come back to Godhead. Everybody else says, yes, gone back to Godhead. But where I've gone to hell, who knows? What hell I've gone to? Why we fool each other like this? What do we get out of it? Nothing. This is the problem in this world, that everybody else says something and everyone goes with it. Somebody says something and everybody goes along with it. This is no good. So, Krishna's point, this is why when you read these Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam, you have to understand Uddhava and Arjuna very well. It is from them you can see that Brahmam in them. And that Brahmam is in us also. Brahmam is in everybody. Except Krishna, there everyone else has got Brahmam. Isn't it? So, Krishna is saying Brahmam, and Shukha Brahmarshi uses the word Brahmam there. Because it's a kind of Brahmam this is. That everything will be okay, in another word. So, and I will be alright, I will get there one day. This kind of understanding, Krishna is saying here, this Brahmam, give up. That's what Krishna is saying like that. Because they are all mental state. It's all coming from the mind. It's a completely mental thing that is. And you can see this all the time. When somebody, say an initiated devotee, one left the body in an accident or in a illness or something like that. And somebody comes forward and says, he writes one article about that person saying that he was such a nice devotee, served so many people, did so much for this, so much for that. And definitely he says he has gone back to the spiritual world where he is entered into Krishna's eternal pastimes and so on and so forth. So many things. And for somebody who doesn't know anything about spiritual life, he reads that. And he's saying, wow, this is not too bad that it was such a simple thing that you could go like that. But it is not so. That is all Brahmam that is. person who is writing that, he has Brahman. He has got Brahman. And it is that Brahman that's coming out through that writing. Okay, for Laukikam, for in this world, to please somebody, you may say some things. But when you start making this as a tool in spiritual life to entice others and to bring them into spiritual life, that's a bit misleading. That's a bit misleading. So, remember this, that it's all mental state that is. And you can create that state, you can create any state through your effort through the mind. Isn't it? Through your mind and with the effort of your mental effort, you can create any state you want, but that state won't last. That is the problem. You have to be very clear about these things, because in spiritual life, not to get carried away by emotions and not to get carried away by the propaganda. That's very important, because quite often we get tracked, we get trapped in that. A lot of people are together, very excited, are chanting and telling us that we are all feeling ecstatic, and you're not feeling any ecstatic. So you start thinking, is something wrong with me? They're all feeling ecstatic, but I'm not feeling. There's nothing wrong with you, it's wrong with them who are saying this. That knowledge you have to have. Otherwise, easily, because that is all coming from the mind, nowhere else. Nowhere else it's coming. It's coming from the mind. You will feel this. All kinds of ecstatic situations in life. And similarly, everybody else is feeling miserable. You are not feeling miserable. Again, you are thinking, something wrong with me. I'm not feeling miserable. You're all feeling miserable. What can I do? Again, it's a mental state. So this mental state you can create with effort. Depending on, if you get a group of people, you join them, and naturally, according to the group, you will feel good or bad, whichever way they have put you into. All these things one has to come out. Krishna is saying here, all people who are performing sadhana, for them, they go for different reasons. Say, for example, you go to a kirtan mela, or to bhajana, or a lecture, or bhagavatam, or class, or anything, and you may reach, get some state from that. You get some excitement from some form or the other. After a while, it will go. It won't stay here, isn't it? And then you are walking again, wandering around everywhere. Will I get it again from somewhere else? That's another inquiry. The journey starts then. So, what they are inquiring after is something what is in their imagination, isn't it? What is something that is in their imagination they are inquiring after. And all that imagination is always within the frame of goodness, passion, and ignorance. You have not come out of the mind yet. You are still, you know, when you are excited emotionally, or when you're feeling this ecstasy and all that, you should not forget that you are still within the framework of Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, and Tamogunam, three modes of material nature. Therefore, first thing is, Krishna is saying, throw away the begging bowl from inside, that I want something, I have to get something. As long as there is this begging bowl, self-realization is difficult, it is a block there. And that is why Krishna says that whether it is connected to this material life or to the spiritual life, both these desires must go from inside. Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan partha manogadan atmanye atmanasushta prasadamadigachadi. That is the verse in the Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? You see that verse, the power of that verse. That when Krishna uses the word prajahadi yada kaman sarvan, he says, any kind of desire, as long as there is desire inside, sarvan partha manogadan, they are coming from the mind. They are not coming from the self. They are coming from the self. But then who is happy? Atmanyeva atmanatushta. One who is situated, left his identification with the body and who is completely situated in the self, that person, prasadam adhigachadi, he will be the happy person. If you look at that verse, you will see there.
55.
Yeah. What is the verse correct? Prasadam adhigachadi or? Isn't it? Correct, huh? What exactly the last line? സ്ഥിത പ്രജ്ഞ തഥോച്യതേ പ്രജാഹാദി യഥാ കാമാൻ സർവാൻ പാർത്ഥം അനോഗതാൻ ആത്മന്യം ആത്മനസ്തുഷ്ട സ്ഥിത പ്രജ്ഞ തഥോച്യതേ വിച്ച് മീൻസ് ദ സെയിം ദാറ്റ് ഹീ സിറ്റുവേറ്റഡ് ഇൻ ദി സെൽഫ് ആൻഡ് ഹീസ് ഇന്റലിജൻസ് ഈസ് സ്റ്റഡി സ്ഥിത പ്രജ്ഞ ഹീസ് ഇന്റലിജൻസ് ഈസ് സ്റ്റഡിലി സിറ്റുവേറ്റഡ് And you will see all the verses after that also more or less expanding that principle in there. So we'll have a short break then. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ 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 കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ 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 രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ ചേതോ ദർപ്പണമർജനം വവ മഹാദാവാഗ്നി നിർവാപണം ശ്രേയക്കൈതവ ചന്ദ്രികാ വിതരണം വിദ്യാവതൂ ജീവനം ആനന്ദാംബുദിവർദ്ധനം പ്രതിപദ പൂർണാമൃതാസ്വാദനം സർവാപ്നാസുപനം പരം വിജയതേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ സങ്കീർത്തനം നാംനാമകാരി ബഹുദാ നിജ സർവശക്തി തത്രാർപ്പിതാ നിവിദാ സ്മരണേന കാല ഏകാദൃശം തവ കൃപാ ഭഗവാൻ മമാവി ഹൃദൈവമീദൃശമിഹാജനി അനുരാഗാ ൃണാരഭിഷുനീചേന ഹരോരഭി സഹിഷ്ണുനാമാനദേന കീർത്തനീ ധനം ജനം ന സുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശ കാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരേ ഭവദാത് ഭക്തിരഹൈതുകി ത്വയി വൈനന്ദതനൂജ കിങ്കരം പതിതാ മാം ശമീ ഭവാംബുധോ കൃപയാ തവ പാദ പങ്കജ സ്ഥിത ധൂളി സദൃശം വിചിന്തയാ മയനം ഗളദ ശ്രുധാരയ വദനം ഗദ്ഗദരുദ്ധയാ ഗിര പുളകേർ നിജിതം കഥാവഭൂ തവ നാമ ഗ്രഹണേ ഭവിഷ്യതി യുഗായുധം നിമേഷേണ ചക്ഷുഷാ പ്രാവിശായുധം ശൂന്യായുധം ജഗൽ സർവം ഗോവിന്ദ വിരഹേ നമേ ആശ്ലേഷ്യ വാ പാദരദാം വിനഷ്ടു മാം അദർശനാം മർമഹദാം കരോതു വാ യഥാ തഥാ വാ വിദധാ ദുലം വടോ മത്പ്രാണനാഥാസ്തു നയേവ നാഭരാ So, that word, Brahmam, what Krishna has spoken about, he says that Brahmam, anything that coming, it will go. Anything that comes means it has to go. Whereas సెల్ఫ్ రియలైజేషన్ ఈజ్ నాట్ దట్ కమ్స్ ఫ్రమ్ అవుట్ సైడ్ ఇట్స్ ఆల్రెడీ దేర్ ఇన్ ఎవ్రీ వన్ వాట్ వీ దట్ ఈస్ ద డిఫరెన్స్ ఇస్ ఇట్ వి రిమూవ్ దట్ థింగ్స్ వాట్ ఈస్ యాక్చువల్లీ కవరింగ్ అప్ ద సెల్ఫ్ విచ్ మీన్స్ ద మైండ్ ఇంటెలిజెన్స్ ఈగో ద బాడీ ఎవ్రీథింగ్ దీస్ ఆర్ ఆల్ అవర్ అనర్థం వాట్ వీ హ్యావ్ గాట్ they once they are removed and we have gone to our identity as a self then that's what we are that is what krishna says here that the mental states everything that comes from the mind or is everything that is, will always be like this it'll come it will go it won't stay and with your effort you can create that state isn't it you can create that mental state with your effort for example people do it through various ways through alcohol you can create a good mental state isn't it through drugs you can create a good mental state like that various ways there is you can reach that mental state what you are looking for but that won't stay that will go it cannot stay so that's the point krishna saying similarly even in spiritual life also when you go for even for bhajans or even the kirtanam and also even in a class bhagavatam class or bhagavad gita everything you feel temporarily some excitement in some ways that is not what we are looking for excitement what we are looking for is that is the truth getting revealed to us that revelation of the truth from inside from the self atma has to recognize antaryami has to recognize that his presence inside of antaryami his presence inside we becoming conscious of that and our identity with the body we losing that identity with the body and coming to the real identity because there are so many things like in a good kirtanam you will enjoy the music excitement comes isn't it you enjoy the nice kirtanam nice sung well with instruments and everything it's very intoxicating sometimes is it not a nice musical concert like it becomes Similarly, bhajanam, kirtanam, and similarly class also. In Bhagavatam, if it is some interesting things spoken, you feel a certain excitement from that. But all of them is not what Krishna is saying here. He mentions here that they are all within the three modes of material nature. They are all within the modes of material nature. Basically, Krishna is saying that more than anything else, for the knowledge to develop inside, for this requirement is prajahadi yada kama. Desires must go from inside. Sarvan, all desires, partha. Why? They all come from the mind, manogadan. In other words, mind has to go. Sarvan partha manogadan. Atmani vatmana tushta. Siddha prajna tadochyade, he says, isn't it? Such a person who has lost all desire, and that is that state what you see in Sukadeva Goswami, in Jadabharata, in Dattatreya Rishi, various other Rishabhadev and so many others in the Bhagavatam. This state, Siddha Prajnatvam, that has happened to them. So, and in the Bhagavatam, that means they don't ask anything material or spiritual. Therefore, it mentions Iha Mutra Bhala Bhoga Viragam. Iha means here, Amutra means in the higher plants also. Any desire for enjoyment in any of these places, that has gone. Any of these places has gone away. That's what Krishna says like that. Iha mutra bhala bhoga viragam. So, if we start saying that I don't want anything, you can say like this that I have nothing to gain from outside. And particularly Krishna says we are by nature, we are perfect. The Atma, soul inside is always perfect. It is very nature of the soul is perfection. Perfection. Perfection in the sense that it doesn't have any doubts, it doesn't have any desires. Very nature of the soul is full of bliss and full of knowledge, isn't it? And it also, soul doesn't have to get anything from outside for its happiness and perfection, because it is perfect. And therefore when you get carried away by all this propaganda that you're going to get this, you're going to get that, it is using that people attract others into spiritual life in the modern world. If in that case what will happen is that you will know that whatever you have got it, that also you will lose at the end. So That is why nothing is required from outside in spiritual life. And as an important law in the life, Krishna has spoken this in that verse. If you look into the 21st chapter, you will see as a law he has spoken that. This principle, that you don't want anything in spiritual life. That's understanding. If you look into that 21st chapter, you will see there that then yato yato nivarteta vimucheta tatastada esha dharmo nranam kshema shoga moha bhayavaha. 11, 21, 18. I don't know what is written there in the book about the message in that verse. I don't know what it is. Let's have a look. Yato yato nivarteta. Yeah. By refraining from a particular sinful or materialistic activity, one becomes freed from its bondage. Such renunciation is the base of religion, religious and auspicious life for human beings, and drives away all suffering, illusion and fear. Illusion and fear. So here but that verse is a little deeper than that. It's saying that, of course, in a translation it is practically telling the same thing. But what Krishna is saying, that if your desires have left you, for example, there are various desires, isn't it? From whichever desire you are getting released, you are getting freed from any desire, you can take it that you got free, more and more free. You see that? Yato yato nivarteta vimucheta tatastata. That's what it is. That suppose, just like yesterday we were talking about the same thing, that some desire inside came. You worked very hard for that. You didn't get it. And you lost that desire at the end. So that means what? You will not desire it again. Is it not? That means you are come out of that desire. Various ways it can happen. Suppose you had some big desire in you and Krishna has put you in a very difficult situation in life. So many distress has come in life. And all that desires you had gone away with that. It's like that. Maya is like that. Maya does this. Suppose sometimes you can see in people, we are running around with some desires in our head, with our mind. And you look at somebody else, he doesn't seem to have any desire. Why? Because he's suffering in a different way, in a big way. He's suffering. So he's not able to desire the same way like you are desiring. You are more or less happy in your life materially. So that means you have got other desires in your list. Priority. Whereas another person who is very sick, say he's on a wheelchair and he does not have any health and he's physically struggling in this world, he is not having any of your desires. Is it not? What Krishna is saying is this, that if you get released from different desires like this in life, you can say you are getting closer to liberation. How it happens doesn't matter. Yato yato nivarteta vimucheta tatastata. As and when you are getting released from different desires, you can take it that you are getting closer to the liberated state. Esha dharmo nranam kshema shokam moham bhayavaha. Then all these things are in this way, more and more getting released from all desires is finally what will get you out of hankering, lamentation, illusion and fear. This is how you will come out of it. That's what that verse is saying. Esha dharmo nranam kshemam shokam moham bhayavaha. Your ultimate benefit is that. That means anything that gets you released from desires, that is what is taking you closer to the truth. This is what Krishna says. And that is what will happen at the end with that verse. Prajahadi yada kaman. That one after the other, all desires have gone away from inside. That is what is called chitta shuddhi. Purification is that. That desires have gone away from inside. How it happened? Immaterial of that. Doesn't matter. It can happen either through suffering. It can happen through knowledge. It can happen through influence from others. In various ways it can happen. It doesn't matter how it has happened. That's the point Krishna is saying like that. So that verse Krishna has devoted for saying that one principle of spiritual life. It's one principle of spiritual life, this one. It's one of the principles of spiritual life. So, after saying that, Krishna says that this is a big rule in life, he says. It's a big law in life. Yado yado nivarteda. In whichever issue you are managed to free yourself. For example, that you got, you had a strong desire to get married. You got married. Everything went wrong in life. And if that desire has gone away from inside, you have got it. You got one more step closer to the truth. This is one example I'm saying. Like that, whether it's man or woman, doesn't matter. Ultimately, the truth is truth, isn't it? Krishna says very strongly about all these things. Similarly, attachment to any other person in this world. Attachment to children, for example. If the children turned around tomorrow and kicked you at the face, thank you very much. You will also help me in my spiritual life, you have to say to them. Like that. That is what who did? Anga story, Vena's father. When Venan was born, and Venan was a big demon, wasn't he? That he used to do, everybody used to complain about the son. And finally, what did the father do? One night, during the sleep, while sleeping, he got up and walked out, went to the forest. They couldn't find him anymore. And he says, he sang a song there. It is in the Bhagavatam, the song he sung. He says, Venan says that, if you have to have children, you should have children like mine, he says. If I get a child like my son, I'll be, because he has helped me in my spiritual life. If he was very good, what would have happened? I would have stuck at home, continued with my kingdom administration and king's happiness and pleasure, because Kshatriyas, they are very good at all that, isn't it? So he says, oh, I would have wasted my time. And he walked away from home. So he helped me, he said. So like this in different, that is what it is. That is what that verse is talking about. Krishna is saying this. Krishna has put it in one verse, but message of Bhagavatam is all the way through this only. Kundi Devi, what did she say? Finally, he said, break my connection here, break my connection there also. I don't have anything to do with the Vrishnis, nor with the Pandavas. Why? I learned my lesson that all this attachment is all false. That's Kundi Devi's lesson. My attachment to the son Pandava, they are my sons and they are my relations. Dranam Pandusha Vrishnishu, he says. Sneha Pasha Mimam Chindi Dranam Pandushu Vrishnishu. They are Pandavas, Pandava's children, they are my children. That attachment and other attachment, Vrishnis, they are also my relations. Please cut this both knots and take me out. That means Kundi Devi is saying, my attachment has gone both sides. Now I am free. Again, another step close to liberation. Bhishma, what did he say? After seeing all, Bhishma played a big game throughout Mahabharata, isn't it? If you read about Bhishma, you will see this. What all that personality did in Mahabharata, his life, and such a powerful personality, who even fought against Parashuram and won. And then Bhishma also finally is saying, all this is waste of time, he said. He also realized it at the very end, though. He realized that at the very end, when he says at that time. So everyone, and that principle is what Krishna is saying here in the Bhagavatam, in this verse. Yato yato nivarteda. In whichever way you get free from everything, the better it is. More, not accumulating and getting entangled in everything. No, getting released from everything, from all connections, from all attachment, from all desires. In that way, getting freed from everything. And that Krishna is saying there. That so, in whichever thing, for example, our attachment is various types, isn't it? Some people, they will have, they give the example of the dog. You hold on to the dog. You get attached to the dog, then you feel that you... Like Jadabharata got attached to the deer. In the same way, you got attached to the dog. Every morning you are taking out the dog for a walk. And because of your... You feel that you have to look after the dog, attach the dog. Ultimately what happens? You got attached to the dog. You are holding on to the dog and the result was you got attached to the dog. And that, you can see that in the... you know, people walk, morning walk with the dog in the hand, isn't it? And that dog, if you let it go, it will go its own way. It doesn't want you to be with the dog. It has its own life to enjoy. But you got attached to the dog, so you have put the belt around neck and holding on to the rope, and he carrying the dog with you all the time. You created, that means you got attached there. That's what it is. Once you got released from that, that means that headache is gone. That's it. Like that, in life, Krishna is saying here, dog is not particular that he doesn't want to walk with you only. Dog is not saying, is it, I want to walk with you. No, you are taking the dog for a walk. So, if you leave the dog, because he is free, you are not free. That's the system. He is free, the dog is free to go where he wants to go, but because the person who is holding the dog, he is not free. So, similarly, that's only an example. Only an example that is. Huh? Everything is like that, Krishna says. You get a nice latest mobile phone, what happens? You'll sit with that, fiddling with that whole day, doing this, doing that. So many, what do they call it? So many options or features in there, and you start playing them. So till you didn't have it, you were not attached to it. The moment you got it, then you got stuck in that, with that thing, isn't it? Then you want to send a text message to everybody that you got this. Then you inquire how many free texts. Is it not? Like this, one after the other, you get caught up in that mobile phone. Sometimes when you see people, you have seen them, I don't have to say, that they don't need anybody to talk to. They can talk to their mobile phone 24 hours. They can get occupied with the mobile phone. So then you will say, then you start wondering, oh, he didn't call me, I have to call them then. So then you start dialing, pressing the button. You call somebody to inquire, oh, how is your health? You okay? I'm okay. And conversation continues like this, isn't it? So looking at it is only a small thing than mobile phone. But the amount of time it takes away from you in one way or the other. So it's still you are finding it difficult to leave it. It becomes your permanent associate. Isn't it? So Sita Devi says a story in the Ramayana about this. It's a very interesting story that is. After that story we'll stop. That story is like this. He said, you know, Indra gets upset when somebody starts austerities. Indra gets worried whether that person is looking for his position, Indra's position. That's his main worry. So whenever anybody starts austerities, Indra will keep a watch on him. And depending on that person's strength, Indra will depute different people from the heavenly planets. If he's very powerful sages like Vishwamitra and all that, he will send Menaka to disturb. Naranarayana Rishi, he sent Urvashi and others, Rambha, Tilottama. For Agnidra, he sent, they sent Purvachiti. It is common practice in the Indra. He will send someone to destroy your determination in performing tapasya. Because through tapasya you get siddhis, capacities like that. So Indra sussed out first this person. He found that he is not a very strong person. So he decided not to send any apsaras women from the heavenly planets. What he said was, he said he came there and saw this man who was performing some penances in the forest. And he asked him, why are you performing all these penances for? So he said that I want to acquire some strength in me. So what Indra did was, he took a knife, pocket knife, a small knife, and gave it to him. Keep this knife with you. I'm going somewhere. I also performing penances here. I'll come back later, he said to him. And when I come back, you give it back to me. Till then you can keep it. Just keep it with you, he said, like a gift. He handed this knife to him. So Indra left, went away. So this, we have to call him Rishi, isn't it? Because he's performing penances and all. When he left, he started, after his meditation, he was walking in the forest. So he took this knife with him. And whenever he saw some, while in his walking route in the forest, when he found some plant on the way, he'll just cut it. will just cut the plant and make his way through. And he saw the knife was very sharp. He was enjoying it, using it. You know, when you get a very good knife, just like when you get a good gun to shoot, what you want to do, you want to shoot, isn't it? And if it is really good gun, very expert weapon, if you get in the hand, weapon has got that nature. So our Rishi, what he did, he took that knife and started cutting the plants and trees. After that, when he started cutting the plants and the trees, and it's cutting very well, little plants and insects, little insects and little animals and all, when they started coming, he started using them against them also. So initially it started with the plants, then it switched on to birds, animals, wherever he could apply, he started applying them. And he started doing in such a way, he started giving pain to all the other, and he has come to the ashram for spiritual life, and it ended up like this. So all the other living entities in the forest, who were not fearful of him in the beginning, they started getting frightened with him when he started using these weapons. And so what it's saying is, in that, this is, I think it is in the Yoga system, it says this, that for everybody to block their austerities, you don't need Apsaras women to come. Even a small knife is enough. Even a small knife is enough to block his. So just like you see a Swami or a Guru or a Sannyasi, if you want to stop their Sannyasam and Guru and all that, give them a nice mobile phone. That's enough. They'll be playing with that for the rest of their life. They'll sit there and fiddle with it for the rest of the time. All that, that's all what they need. Because normally you can see in their life, the desire is inside. It hasn't gone. They've taken to Sannyasam. Yeah? And there is no income, anything. Suddenly someone comes and gives him a very latest mobile phone or a latest laptop and says to him, it is for you. You have it free. You have it, you say. Then you will see, you sit there and watch him, that all his Sannyasam, everything will go in the next few hours. It will be busy with this mobile phone or the electronic gadget, whatever you have given him, will take over everything. So here Krishna is saying, what the point Krishna is making here is that to destroy distraction, that is sufficient. Little things is sufficient to take us away from the truth. Krishna is saying to us, all the time you should be fixed on your identity as the self, as a soul. Isn't it? That's what he said before. But this small distraction is enough, and then you will think about the soul when? After you have sent all your texts, all your phone to everyone in the world, and you have done all your, what do they call it, the, you know, in the, everything what you could use with that tool, after you have done everything, then you will come back. Oh, I've forgotten about the soul now. You will say, I'm a sannyasi, aren't I? I have to think about the soul, don't I? So you will start thinking, that is not sannyasam. That is what Krishna is saying here. Krishna is saying, all the desires you wipe out first from inside and come towards the closer to the truth, not try to enjoy all the things in this world. So, whichever that you have given up, Krishna is saying, that is liberation. Ultimately, that is what is called a liberation, that your attraction has gone for that. In one way or the other, the attraction has left. The attraction has left. So, what Krishna is saying here is, mukti is not something that you have to acquire through anything. By throwing away the desires from inside, it happens in a natural way inside. That is called liberation. And what we have to throw away is all these objects that is attracting us in this world. In this world, some of them has got inside and taken a place. Some of them are not attracting, because probably it depends, due to knowledge, I would say, that we think certain things we can't achieve in life. So what we say, we don't desire for it. Certain things you think that you can achieve it by working hard. That remains as a desire inside. Krishna is saying, Prajahadi yada kaman sarvan. All desires must go inside. The more and more the desires have gone away, that much you become free. And that celebration, Krishna is saying. And anything that has come in, it has to go. And when they go, there will be pain inside. There will be pain inside. Not only we are talking about products, we are talking about our attachments in this world, whether it is husband, wife, children, friends, relations, all of them. The stronger is the attachment, the greater will be the pain when it breaks. When it breaks. There's a famous story about that. You may have heard about Kalidas, a famous poet. Yeah, Kalidas was a highly respected, renowned poet. You can say he's the more or less like the Shakespeare in English. That is his position in Sanskrit Sanskrit literature. Kalidas had a great benediction from Mother Kali. Kali has opened his tongue, told him to open the tongue and wrote on that some letters and told Kalidas, you will become the most famous poet in the world. And that's how Kalidas became Kalidas as he is. Otherwise, he was an uneducated person. But due to the mercy from Bhadrakali, who has gave the mercy to Jadabharata also in the Bhagavatam, that Bhadrakali blessed Kalidas with this, and Kalidas wrote everything famous. No one else has handled Sanskrit literature like the way Kalidas has done. This Kalidas was a very famous personality, and he was a very close friend of a king called King Bhoja. King Bhoja. Bhoja is well known, a king as well. In his time, in his palace, there was all the great, great poets were there. All great personalities who studied Shastram, scholars, they were all in his assembly, Bhoja. If you look into that time of the history, you will read about Bhoja, King Bhoja. So, King Bhoja was very fond of Kalidas. Kalidas was very fond of King Bhoja. They had a very close attachment. They were so good friends. And Bhoja was also a scholar. He enjoyed Kalidas's erudition and his explanations of the Shastram and things like that. Poetic genius. He was a poetic genius. And Kalidas also liked this patronage of the king, Bhoja. They lived like that very closely for a very long period of time. One day, some crazy desire came to Bhoja. What was the desire? Desire was like this. You know this thing called elegy. What that means? There is one song, elegy written in a country churchyard. That means after the death, you are glorifying that person's life in this world. Yeah, poem like that. Yeah, I don't know who wrote that, but that is a very famous song. So it is a... yes, that's it. Yeah, that's right. So like that, in Sanskrit also the same thing exists. So this King Bhoja, and that is normally written after the death of the person, isn't it? Elegy is written after that. That is called elegy written in a country churchyard, it's called. So this Bhoja felt a desire. I would like to see what Kalidas will write about me after my death. It is a very strange desire, quite unusual, because it's done only after the death, isn't it? You cannot write it before that. It has to come from the heart of that person, and he knew that they are very close to each other. So one day Bhoja calls Kalidas and says to him, could you write about me what you feel now, he said. And Kalidas thought about it and said to him, this is to be written after death, isn't it? How can you write before the person is dead? So Kalidas said no to him. Some other poets in the assembly would have said, yes, I'll do that, because then you will get a huge amount of gift, gold, jewelry, everything will be given to you. But Kalidas didn't think about all that. Kalidas said no. He stood to the principle. He was a great poet and he was very close to Bhoja. And he told Bhoja that I am not going to write. So finally, when King Bhoja heard from Kalidas he's not going to do it, he started threatening him. He said, I'm going to throw you away from this kingdom, he said. Kalidas said, bye-bye. Walked out from there. He was a married person, he had children, and he told all of them and walked away with them from the palace. When he was looked after very well there, he was willing to give up all that. Normally somebody would have done that, saying that, okay, I'll write it for you to please him, something you could have written, isn't it? But he didn't do that. Kalidas broke up and left Bhoja. And after Kalidas left, it was a great pain for Bhoja. He threatened and Kalidas left. That's what happened. So there it says that Bhoja later on wanted Kalidasa to come back to the palace, but Kalidas won't because of this one incident. What it is saying is there that this attachment between Bhoja and Kalidas was so strong that Bhoja felt very difficult after Kalidas left the palace. And he wanted Kalidas badly to come back, but he didn't. He didn't come back. So Krishna is saying, Krishna's point in relationship with this, what we are saying here is that the particular distraction, what has happened, that anything, anywhere in life, this pain will be there. That even in relationship, human relationships also, if the attachment is strong, the pain will be very strong. Pain will be very, very strong. After a while, it will go. The pain will go because that is Krishna's Maya. Maya does that. But Maya's general rule is that if you are very attached to anyone, when Maya breaks it, she will make you suffer also a lot. Whether it is an object, whether it is a human relationship or social relationship, whatever it is, anywhere there is attachment, when it breaks, there will be pain. That is the principle. So therefore, Krishna is saying that you will become free more and more as much as you leave your attachment anywhere. So many things Krishna has said like that. Finally, he says, everything has to be given up. Materially, what is that? Materially, what do you have to give up? All the objects outside. What is holding us back in this world? And through knowledge, what do you have to give up? Materially, you have to give up your attachment to all the different objects in this world where we have attachment materially. Through knowledge, what do you have to give up? Attachment to the body, attachment to the mind, and all other things. That has to be given up through knowledge only. No other way. No other way. Of course, it can happen if Krishna puts you in your very difficult situation with the body. One day, finally, you will say, I want to go away from this body. But that is a very later date it can happen. That means it has to happen through a heavy disease, serious illness. And then body became giving you so much trouble, the body gives it to you. At that time you will say that I don't want this body anymore. Is there any way I can get out of this body? You will say that. That is forcefully done. What Krishna is saying here is material objects, attachment to home, other things, objects in this world, give it up directly yourself. Attachment to the body, mind, ego, all these things, give up through knowledge. Through knowledge, give it up. And because these things, you can't give it up like the way the product, like car, you can give up, isn't it? An expensive car or a car what you're driving, you say, can live without that, give it up. It's not going to bother so much. That those things, you can renounce them on its own. Or wealth, or so much other things in this world, many other objects, whatever you may have, you can give it up like that. But this body, the problem is that it doesn't have to be given up, because what problem you have got here is only identification. It doesn't have to be given up. Attachment to the body is due to identification. That is why, that means this body, I am this body, body is mine, body is for my enjoyment. All these things, if it goes away and realize yourself who you are, then in that realization you will know that in your identity there is no body, there is no mind. You see, that is that what Krishna is saying there also, that when you realize the self, in your identification with the self, identification with the body goes away. Identification with the mind also goes away. All these things will naturally disappear because only recognition there. There's only recognition there. You have identified and you have recognized it like that. Whereas in Swarupam, in your own Swarupam, there is no body, there is no mind either. And that is not only that, that vastu inside is completely free from the body and the mind. Even now, Atma ఈజ్ కంప్లీట్లీ ఇండిపెండెంట్ ఇన్సైడ్. శాస్త్రం ఈజ్ సేయింగ్ దిస్ టు అస్ అగైన్ అండ్ అగైన్ అండ్ అగైన్. వాట్ ఈస్ గోన్ రాంగ్ దెన్? దిస్ ఐడెంటిఫికేషన్. ఐడెంటిఫికేషన్ ఈజ్ దాట్ వాట్ వీ హ్యావ్ టు రిమూవ్. నిత్యశుద్ధ బుద్ధ ముక్త స్వభావం స్వరూపం. And that is what Krishna says here, sannyasam, nirvanam, and all these things, what Krishna says is that. But, but before that happens, that is the last one, this giving up the body. All the other little things we have to give up. But just by changing the cloth, you can't give up those things. And, or if you, just like we mentioned that, suppose, I have changed home. I left home. Then I went and gone and built a 5-star house in Vrindavanam and say that I am living in an ashram. Does that mean my attachment is gone? No. All I have done is my attachment to this house, I have switched on to my attachment to another house. Is it not? That is why we find, I mentioned so many times that when you take sannyasam and then if you have not lost all your attachment, instead of, if you were a karmi or a businessman, you'd have built a 5-star hotel. Instead, you'll build a 5-star ashram. That's what will happen. Why? Prajahadi, the kamam has not gone, has not left inside. What Krishna is saying here, that if that is not giving up. That is not giving up. All these things, you may get respect in the world. Sometimes you can see in some of these holy places, some people, they come and build huge palaces. Their attachment is there. That is why they couldn't give it up. Instead, they'll become more attached. After they have built a big palace, what will happen? They'll get more attached to that palace. So, even if you go and sit in the Himalayam, in the Himalayas, that desire has not gone away from inside. If you have doubt about this, you have to try it out and see what happens. That's the answer to that. In all these things, if there is any doubt in Krishna's words, the right thing to do is to try it out. Give up everything. Go and sit in the Himalayas in a cave or something for a month or so and see what's happening within yourself. Little by little, you'll go and settle down in the cave and looking for all the things what you were having here. You want it there. Somebody will come to you saying, that, well, I got a tape recorder to sell or I got a camera to sell. You will say, why don't you give it as a donation to this sannyasi? I am here. Your desire has not left you. You want it still. And you will ask for it or you will start begging from someone who has got it. Things will come back again in that way. Krishna is saying that if you go or if you can't experience it yourself in that way, go and stay with someone who has done and trying it out. And you observe them. That way also you can find out. Then you can see that that person's desire has not completely left him. You see? So therefore, Krishna says, because it is like that, wherever material nature has put you, stay in that state. That's the best place for spiritual life. This is Krishna's point. Not that you artificially change your location, move away to somewhere else and thinking that because you are not living in the right place, that's why the spiritual life is not happening to me. No. Krishna's point is that wherever Krishna has put you, and wherever you are attached in whatever items where you are living at the moment, there you give up your attachment one after the other and get freed from yourself, from all that attachment. And then it will not bind you, Krishna says. And finally, the release from the through knowledge. After all that, finally, the release through knowledge. Release through knowledge, which means release from the body, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, everything. And then that means what remains that is what we are and that is the truth. So we'll stop there today. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Tomorrow? Yeah. Yeah. What time is it? 2:00. 2:00, isn't it? 2:00, Anil?
Normal time, 2:30.
2:30, sir.